about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I called you back in because your next task starts right now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or would or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. You changed the whole thing around.
Not at all, Kevin, no?
He shoots, he scores! He could have been Spicoli and changed the whole thing around!
Science says global warming, but I can't help thinking it has something to do with Jews.
And now,
so fresh.
Our feature presentation.
So fresh. I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
I think that should be our new Kevin and Bean slogan. So fresh.
Hey, why not put your station key card on your keys?
Yeah.
I know I've suggested that 30 times in the past, but you lose it so often, it seems like you wouldn't have that problem anymore if it were on your keys so that you couldn't drive to the radio station without it.
Dude, you act like I lose it, like, every week. It's every other week. Because it bugs me. It bugs me. My keys bug me. I have as few keys as possible.
Right.
So it bugged me to have that card on it.
Okay.
Usually I don't have a problem, but when I travel someplace, you know, I keep it in my pocket or whatever. I travel. I went to Coachella this past weekend. Mm-hmm. Take everything out of my pockets and put it someplace. So
yeah, so you don't get rolled and lose important stuff. Sure.
Right. So, but then I forget where I put it. So now I have to go on a search today and try and find out where I put it.
It's just so funny when we get that phone call 1 minute before we go on the air. Kevin's out in the parking lot. Can't get in.
Sure can't
hey,
get in.
We're going to take your telephone calls for the Wednesday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, how about this? We may owe our listeners an apology, Kevin.
Why?
We've been doing a great job of, depending on how you look at it, either alerting them to an important issue or whipping them into a needless frenzy that the monkeys are taking over the world.
Right.
I mean, that's been kind of our cause for years. But I think that we've been slipping because we've been concentrating so much on the monkeys that I think we have let the increase in the world robot population pass us by.
I thought you were excited about the robots.
I do. I love robots. But don't you think it's only the flip of a switch somewhere before they all turn on us? The next thing you know, you're going to get raped by your Roomba? I mean, let's face it.
That's the one that vacuums?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. It's got some abilities.
How many robots do you think there are in the world right now?
I don't know. That's a good question.
8.6 million.
And I have a couple of words for you, which is Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they take over and start destroying human beings and enslave them.
8.6 million, by the way, which is roughly the population of New Jersey. That's how many robots there are. Now, they've done this new list where they have two different kinds of robots. They have the ones that they use for business, the big ones, you know, that, they milk cows and they do things like that. The, you know, giant machines that they use in industry, that you have those.
Right.
And then they have the other robots, like the Roombas and the things that I talk about, and the little ones, and the personal service robots and type of things like that. But 8.6 million of them. I'm just telling you that they sit there in the corner and you think you can turn them off and you're safe, but you don't know, man.
Middle of the night, you're sleeping, you wake up, it's staring at you.
Right.
We've been told.
White panties on its head.
We've been told for years. That there's these whole new line of androids and robots and everything that's going to be the cutting edge of industry.
Right,
And they only exist in Japan and Korea, and they never make their way to Western Europe or the United States. And they're just – all they do is they, like, get your remote control and stuff.
No, that's not – you're thinking of a specific kind of – the kind you'd have in your house to do errands for you. But you got to remember all of the robots out there that they use in, surgery, for instance, underwater robots.
And military use. I understand.
Military demolition. There's a lot of stuff.
But they set them up as assassins.
isn't that – 10,000 of the robots you just mentioned out of the 8 point some million, though? I mean, the rest of them are like shaped like R2-D2, and they have a tray for serving drinks.
Look, you may not see the future, Mike. You have no vision.
What exactly. I'm saying
what I'm
is,
telling you is that Bean and I have gone through this before with other animals and items, and we have a keen sense of what's going to bring down society.
Oh, really? Like yeah. the Segway in about 2002 when you told everybody, this is it. It's over.
Yeah, that was us.
City transportation. It's changed forever. I got to give you a Segway.
That? Bean, do we say that?
I don't believe we were the ones predicting that. There were others. I mean, sir, I think Time Magazine and people like that put it on the cover saying, yeah, it was going to change the world forever, and they did not. But look, here's all I'm saying is I don't want anybody to be able to come back to this show when the switch is flipped and the robots take over. I don't want them to look at us and go, hey, why didn't you tell me? At least now it's on the record. We've got the tape. We can play it for them. We can say, look, we were there. We told you when they eclipsed New Jersey in population.
By the way, if they're eclipsing New Jersey's population, we should take New Jersey's population, send them overseas, and just fill it with robots.
Yeah. Situation can take out like 1,000 robots all on his own.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that's the next Bruckheimer movie is New Jersey versus the robots.
Yeah.
The awesome one-on-one, man-to-robot combat.
I like it. I'm in.
Everybody in New Jersey would be required to kill one robot. That'd be so sweet.
to live there. Yeah,
to live, exactly. All right, so we'll keep you posted on that right now. Time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
I'd like to point out once again today, if you're keeping track, no death anywhere. Potential death, no death in the opening story. Let's start with Mimi. She is on line 4, and she is calling the Kevin and Bean Show to get us started on the Wednesday What It Do, Nephew. Hi, Mimi.
Hello.
What
did you guys?
Hi.
One of my biggest fear is getting vomited on, like at a club or a bar or something.
Vomit's not that bad.
No, but.
But why? This happened before, or why are you so keen about it now?
I don't know. I've always been afraid of vomit, but I think what happened was a few months ago at the knitting factory, I was at a club and one of the employees came out when I took a break outside and she was like, I just got vomited on. I thought this guy spilled beer on me, but I felt it was all chunky and he vomited on me.
Well, look, I'm not trying to say it's pleasant. You'll enjoy it. I'm just saying
you'll survive it.
Yeah.
And no, that poor person worked at a bar. You know what I'm saying? She worked at a bar/concert venue, so she's got a higher opportunity to be puked on.
Yeah, but she was in the same crowd I was in.
I've been thrown up on more times than most people. And I'm here to tell you. It's all right. You're good.
Just try to avoid it, and if it happens, just remember you can just wash it off, and it'll be like it never happened.
Yeah, it's
not
pleasant.
No, but there's diseases and all this. I don't know. I don't
want to. What do you want us to do? We can't follow you around with some kind of protection duty that says, "I don't know, you look like you might throw up. Back up."
And you can't really laminate yourself to protect yourself at all times.
Although we could help with that.
Hey, Mimi, do you ever have sex or make out with anyone?
Don't we all?
Okay, then they're far more likely to get a disease from that than you are from somebody vomiting on you. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, way to bring her down, Bean.
I'm saying it's risk assessment. That's all I'm saying is in reality.
Now she's afraid of getting thrown up on, and you wanted to stop making out.
Oh, what if she gets thrown up on while she's making out? That'd be the worst thing ever. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Adam, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Adam, thanks for calling. What'd it do?
Hey, what's up?
What's happening?
I was calling to see if any of you guys happened to see that brawl that happened after the Strikeforce main event on Saturday.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That was in the ring, right?
It was in the ring. It was CBS's big Strikeforce Saturday night event, and they put a ton of dough into getting Dan Henderson. And they signed him with this big contract so that he could fight Jake Shields. And after
which is
the fight,
a great fight.
It was, and it turned out to be a great fight. But it was a big upset because Dan Henderson ended up losing. And after the fight, Mayhem Miller ends up in the ring, and a brawl essentially breaks out. Am I right, Adam?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Mayhem comes up and just says, hey, man, where do I get my rematch? And he kind of pushed Jake, and then Jake's posse just jumped all over him and started punching and kicking him in the face and stuff. And there's like a 20-person melee in the middle of the cage.
I like it. I wish every fight ended that way. That would be great.
Now, Dana White had a theory that he was spitting out yesterday on a bunch of different radio shows, and he's saying that Strikeforce pretty much bet the farm on Dan Henderson.
Right.
They had all the money they had invested in him. They were not expecting him to win, and Jake Shields has an expiring contract after this fight.
They weren't expecting him to lose.
I mean, excuse me, expecting him to lose. And Jake Shields' contract is over after this fight. So they're going into this Saturday night thinking, here we go. Then Dan Henderson ends up losing to the guy who no longer belongs to Strikeforce.
Great!
So he thinks that they sent in Mayhem Miller, their class clown, to go shake things up. Now, everybody at Strike Force and Mayhem Miller himself has denied this, but who knows? I mean, it was a really weird event. What is Mayhem Miller even doing in the ring at all? How does he just come up out of the crowd and run into
Sometimes it's needed.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Do we have time to squeeze in one more, or do we need to be done right there?
We can probably do one more.
Line three.
All right, we'll do line three.
I agree. Hey, Dwan.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
Well, Lisa's on vacation, Dwan, but we thought about you yesterday during our 420 show. Did you listen to any of that, or did you boycott it?
No, but I called yesterday, and I spoke. Ms. Cleo said, I don't celebrate 420.
Yeah, you were right. You were trying very, very hard to get us to not party on 420. You were texting us and emailing us. You weren't?
No, he's
yes,
agreeing.
I did.
Oh, I
yeah.
see. That
he's
you
saying, nope, he didn't want you to party, right?
Oh, okay.
Dwan, it was a great show, though, and I think had you been there and met the people, everybody was really nice, and Cypress Hill was fantastic. I think you would have had a good time if you would have been there, and there wasn't anybody smoking marijuana at the party.
It
was just a...
I still listen to the Cottonmouth Kings, so...
What about the Cottonmouth Kings?
Yeah, they're the rap group. They're the best.
All right.
Okay, they're good. Now, you wanted to tell us...
sound like Snoop Dogg.
I got you.
Right. All right. They're good. You wanted to tell us something else real fast, Dwan?
Yeah, I saw Kick-Ass on Monday night at the Bread Cinema Deluxe. It was awesome.
Can't wait.
That movie kicked ass.
Really? Kicked ass?
No pun intended.
I've been dying to see that. I'm glad to hear you liked it.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, Dwan, we love you, man. You're the best. Thanks for calling.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out to you as well, my friend.
I did not feel that peace out from him. I thought that was maybe a little half-hearted. You know,
maybe Dwan's been replaced by a robot.
We're going to give some highlights on this morning's Kevin and Bean show about the Wake and Bake with Cypress Hill. I don't know if you heard the whole thing. It started, you know, in the 8 o'clock hour and in the 9 o'clock hour. Those guys are so great. And they played like 7-8 songs. It was really good. So we're going to give you some highlights of that. We have a citizen of the day on the way. We have Internet Roundup. We have you texted the wrong person based on my wonderful, wonderful experience out of Coachella. Because texting, you know, you're not talking to the person, so you can't instantly recognize that it's the wrong person by their voice. So you can text. And then it turns out it's not a guy named Omar, but a girl named Debbie.
Could be trouble.
And that's not what you want.
Psycho Mike has some highlights of, you know, Psycho Mike, the co-host of Loveline, has some highlights of his guest last night, Kevin, that I think you'll be interested in that we'll be sharing with the listeners today.
All right. Fantastic.
And Courtney Love.
Is the show still going on?
she's still there, but I let her know. I got to go to the other show.
You just had to leave?
Sorry.
Wow.
Imagine spending 2 hours with Courtney Love.
I would love to. I really do like her.
I'm exhausted by 5 minutes of her. I can't.
Love it.
Honestly, I could not spend 2 hours with Courtney Love. I just couldn't.
And it was even more challenging for me because Dr. Drew was not there. Dr. Drew was in New York City. So I was alone in a studio with her, and she really went for it.
That's the best,
yeah,
though.
It was awesome. She was great.
The amount of times where you go, you shouldn't have said that. I don't know what that means. What's that a reference to? How can you possibly think that? It's just constant. So I love it.
I'm very excited to hear the tape, though, because I did not hear the interview last night.
And one of Bean's, if not Bean's, favorite TV character we're going to have on the show today. The little kid that plays Manny on Modern Family.
Oh, Manny's right. The best.
Rico Rodriguez. He will be here as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:52.
Really? Listening to Kevin and Bean Show. In for Ralph Garman, Kevin and Bean with the Showbiz Beat. I've enjoyed, Kevin, I know you have too, a long time, the work of our friends Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Oh, don't you say it.
Unfortunately, they won't be around much longer as they have been threatened with murder by Islamic extremist groups over last week's episode, which contained a controversial portrayal of the Muslim prophet Muhammad. Yes, South Park and the crosshairs again. Kevin, you saw the show. What was Muhammad up to last week?
Well, all the celebrities that South Park have made fun of got together, and they decided to take action so that they couldn't be made fun of anymore. And so the Tom Cruise character said, Muhammad's the only, you know, person/God on earth that people can't make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they literally, he's the only one that has that power.
Well, because you get killed if you depict him or make fun of him.
So Tom Cruise was going to sue the city unless they brought Muhammad to him. And then they were going to take Muhammad's power, and I can't explain how on the air. But then they were going to all use it so that they couldn't be made fun of. And they did a lot of, you know, you can't show Muhammad in public. And so they brought him in a U-Haul truck. And
in a bear suit.
Had to put him in a mascot suit and stuff. So, I mean, they were really, they were pushing it, but it was really funny and super tongue-in-cheek. I'm not sure terrorists get super tongue-in-cheek.
Well, this is an extremist group called Revolution Muslim, and here's what they say. We have to warn Matt and Trey that what they are doing is stupid, and they will probably end up like Theo Van Gogh for airing this show. That's the filmmaker, you remember, a few years ago, who had written about and filmed movies having to do with Muhammad, and he was assassinated. Listen to this, though. The website also goes on and gives information about where Matt and Trey live and work on the website.
Oh, man.
They're saying, look, we're not making a threat. It's just a warning of the reality that what is likely to happen to them. So, not good.
Not a warning, but we do have the address.
Yes, exactly. So, it sounds like they're pretty much just putting it out there for somebody else to do their dirty work so then they can say, we didn't do it.
Wow.
But that's honked up, right?
Yeah, no kidding. That's a terrible thing for God's
sake. I think Muhammad would love South Park.
It's
if you're alive and watching today, I think he'd dig it.
It's hard for me to guess what his taste would be. And I'd rather not talk about him because I think it's irreverent. And I don't want anything to do with that. But Bean is the guy who is perfectly willing to discuss it. So, the relationship between Amy Winehouse and Blake Fielder Civil, which has been going on for a long time. There were a couple before he went to jail for espionage. And what did he go to jail for? I can't remember.
I think it was just drugs.
Or drugs.
And they were beyond a couple. They were married and then got a divorce. And now you're saying they're back together.
AbsoluteNow.com reports the two headed out to a jazz club to celebrate Blake's 28th birthday last week. They are reunited. They are completely in love.
Wow. That seems dangerous and scary.
Yes.
It just seems like both of them, having been through jail/rehab, maybe the best people to spend time with are not people who are constantly getting into trouble with drugs.
Maybe anyone else.
Yeah, I think so. She's a mess. By the way, how long has it been since her album came out? 4 years? 5 years?
I don't know.
I mean, long time, right? Certainly due for a follow-up by now.
I don't think she's really in fighting shape, Bean. I don't think she's going to go to the studio anytime soon.
Here's a terrible story. Our friend Cal Penn, who, of course, is the great Kumar in the Harold and Kumar movies and was played a doctor on House for a couple of seasons. We were big fans of this guy. Had him on the show a few times. He left show business, you remember, to go work in the Obama administration. Well, he was robbed at gunpoint in Washington, D.C. early yesterday morning. His wallet was taken along with some other possessions. He's okay. The Secret Service is investigating, but I don't know, and I guess we won't find out until they catch the guy. Whether it was because he was Cal Penn and some guy just hates, you know, freaking Kumar, or whether he was just a random guy, wrong place, wrong time. But not good news for Mr. Penn.
No, not a bit. This is a strange story. Scientology, as you know, they go after celebrities. They want celebrity spokespeople. That's why they get taught the Tom Cruises of the world, and then they go, yeah, we got the biggest star in the world. Well, apparently, according to Us Weekly magazine, they say Tom Cruise was forced at one point to choose between the church and his wife, Nicole Kidman. That's how that broke down. Not that they were unhappy, she was unhappy, but that the Church of Scientology came to him and said, you must choose her or us, because we see her as a threat.
Because she wasn't a Scientologist.
Right. The church president tried to recruit Brad Pitt several times, and it goes on to say Michael Jackson tried it after marrying member Lisa Marie Presley. But hated the purification process of the saunas because apparently he was worried about his plastic surgery falling apart. So he'd be in the sauna, his nose would fall off. Oh. He didn't see that as a positive. So no Michael Jackson Scientology.
Great reviews, by the way, on the Conan O'Brien live stage show that is currently touring the country. He had a couple of special guests last night. He's in Seattle, actually, right now. By the way, the first of the two shows in Seattle, Conan did not go over well with the locals when he made Supersonics jokes, perhaps not realizing that the Supersonics now play in Oklahoma City as the Thunder, and they're not necessarily a basketball team in Seattle anymore. Perhaps Conan didn't get that memo. So people weren't pleased with that. They loved his show otherwise, though. And last night, he had a couple of special guests, including Eddie Vedder. course, who lives in Seattle, came out and did a few songs with the band, including a mandolin version of a song from Into the Wild. He also did a ukulele version of a John Lennon song. And then he brought out Mike McCready, also from Pearl Jam, to do Bob O'Reilly with the Conan O'Brien band. But I've seen some YouTube clips of this Conan show. You know, they're not filming it that I know of, or at least they're not releasing any clips from the live show. But, man, it looks like a lot of fun. And Conan is just having the time of his life because he's not on TV. He can say and do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
You know? It's very, very loose and very, very fun. But I know there's some Southern California dates and other places around the country where Conan is coming to do his show. And you never know what kind of special guests you're going to get. But if you got tickets, you're a lucky person.
Billy Ray Cyrus is tired of seeing Miley Cyrus in revealing clothes. She is only 16, right?
Or 17.
17.
I am tired of it, too, until however many months elapse until she's 18, and right. Then I'm all for it.
Star Magazine reports that the country singer has told her to start wearing shorts that cover more of the more than the cutoff she lives in, and he means it. He's serious this time.
Since she was like 15, she's always the most scantily clad chick in the room.
And I was thinking, how different is that from Lindsay Lohan's dad and Jessica Simpson's dad? You know what I mean?
You do nothing but go, hey, check out her cans.
She's got some big cans. Check them out, Jessica. Come on, show them to her. Come on, be proud. Those dads are the ones that scare me.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Andie MacDowell is 52. Tony Danza, Psycho Mike, 59 today.
Yeah.
The great Robert Smith from The Cure turns 51. I can't believe he's only 51, by the way. I guess The Cure started when he was really... He must have been a teenager when The Cure started, because they've been popular forever. Iggy Pop, still going strong at 63, recent inductee to the 2010 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Quarterback Tony Romo, speaking of Jessica Simpson, that's her ex. He turns 30 today. But the reason Kevin is excited, guess who turns 84 years old today?
I'm not excited by anyone who turns 84.
No, I'm taking a dump.
Yes, the queen, ladies and gentlemen, Queen Elizabeth. Kevin's favorite person is 84 today, and that's the Ralph Show Bisbee.
Hope this is her last
one. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Hello, I'm taking a dump.
Hey, Temper Trap, their Sweet Disposition song coming up later this hour. Also, we got some Nirvana for you. And I want to tell you about a little band called Cypress Hill that we had the pleasure of spending some time with yesterday. Kevin Bean live broadcast on 420 to celebrate the release of the new record, Rise Up. We've been knowing those guys for over 15 years, Kevin. Are they still the nicest guys in music?
They are the coolest people that we've ever met.
Yeah, had a great time. It was a real long interview. The whole thing's up at kevinbean.com if you missed it. You want to hear all of it. But for folks who are listening now, you probably didn't get a chance to hear much of it. So we do have a couple of highlights from yesterday, our time with the great Cypress Hill.
Welcome, you guys. Happy 420 to you. Great to see you.
Happy 420. Thanks for having us back.
This is a big day for artists when the new record comes out, especially one that has been a long time since we've had new Cypress Hill. You guys have worked on this for a long time. How's it feel now that 420 is finally here?
Feels good, man. I mean, you know, we've been working on this record for like 3 years. The first 3 years we had solo records out there, but after that we focused, got back in the studio, started knocking it out, and just so happens we landed on 420, man.
If you didn't, yeah, what a coincidence. That's a great coincidence.
If you didn't smoke weed, do you think you could have finished the album in like a week?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Three years.
Probably 2 weeks.
All right. And I know we had Jen when we world premiered the new song Rise Up, which we're going to be hearing later here on the stage. And you were talking about how you really wanted to do something different. Cypress Hill's been together almost 20 years now making records. And this was one where you felt like you didn't want to come back the way hip-hop is. You don't want to come back with the same thing you did last time.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to stay away from what everyone else was doing. And we also kind of wanted to stay away what we've done in the past, you know. That is what it is. We needed to take it to another level, so that's what we tried to do for this record. And we went out to Tom Morello, Darren Malakian, Mike Shinoda, Jim Johnson, Pete Rock,
Everlast,
to help us. Everlast, Evidence, Alchemist. We went to all our friends to help us take this to another level for the fans who've waited so long for us to come out. You know?
Who's going
to
say no? Cypress Hill comes to you and they go, hey, we want you to be on our album. I'm going to go, no. Hey,
I would have said no.
Hey, that's a great question. Did anyone say no?
No.
Everybody that we asked pretty much was, you know, happy to throw down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like...
Because they know you guys are holding. They don't care about the music.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Sendog,
right?
It's like Sendog. You know, that's the only reason he hangs out with me, because I got the greenest weed in the world.
Hey, man. Friends with benefits.
Smart guy. Now, it's Wake and Bake with Cypress Hill. We have some questions.
My name is Fabian. I'm from West Covina. Since you appear on The Simpsons, will you appear on Family Guy next?
If they call us, yeah, sure. Family Guy's funny as hell. I almost
what
had
was
an
it,
expletive.
What was it like being in Homer Palooza, by the way? Is that just so surreal to see yourself on that show?
The biggest thing everybody asks is if we actually ordered the band or not.
Right.
That's orchestra, I should say. Yeah. We didn't.
Hey, you mentioned the Smokeout, which is a great tour. I'm happy to hear that's coming back. And you've been on so many big tours over the years, you know, with Rock the Bells, and you played Woodstock, for God's sakes. Take me back if you can, because Lollapalooza's going strong again. You were on the first Lollapalooza?
Yeah, we were on the side stage on the first Lollapalooza.
Did anyone have any idea what to expect when they put that bill together?
We were ready to go home on the first day.
Yes. Really?
We saw the side stage and how janky it was, and there was nobody watching it. Everybody was watching the big stage. The minute that we got on, the minute that Hand on the Pump came on, because that's what we introed, that's what we came on to first. A flood of people came.
As they
it
should.
Was like 5,000 people just packed in the small area.
When so you hear that song, that means I got to go wherever that's coming from.
Right. All right, before you play again, I got to ask, what's the story that you guys always heard about the origin of the term 420? Because there's so many rumors out there who people say it's a police code or they say it's ingredients in the weed. What's the story you guys heard?
Well, the main story I've always heard is it's the police code. It's the police code. So, you know, that's what we've gone with. But now we already know this is National Cypress Hill Day.
That's right.
It's changed.
420.
Even bigger.
We've officially changed it today.
There's 419, then there's Cypress Hill Day, then there's 421.
Exactly.
All right. Exactly.
I want to ask you guys a question. I don't want to ask you a question. I want to give you a compliment. We play songs all the time, Bean and I, on our radio station that are 15 years old, and we hate the hell out of them because we've heard them 9 million times. Your songs and Stay in the Brain come on, fantastic. They don't get old.
You know, we got,
they don't get old.
We're fortunate to be able to make music that I guess is considered timeless to some people. Like the way we grew up, we listened to groups like Led Zeppelin and The Doors and obviously all the hip hop that we grew up off of. But before that, you know, we had all those rock influences that made those timeless songs and you know, that influenced us to try to do the same thing in our genre of music, you know?
Hey, is it true that sound, that signature sound in Insane in the Brain, that whoop, whoop, the world's most annoying noise, is that really originally a horse's?
That's a horse.
That's, for reals? That's
it's
a horse?
I heard it was a woman dying. Is that true?
No, you're thinking of Love Roller Coaster.
Oh, sorry. Well,
completely different.
When Muggs was doing all those first albums, a lot of people, you know, asked if he was using animal noises like whales and dolphins and horses. The horse was true. I don't know about the whales.
That's
and
funny.
And stuff.
How was being on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night?
That was great, man. You know, performing with all the guys. But the coolest thing was Tom Morello and Julio G made this crazy little go back and forth from the turntables guitar kind of battle thing.
Yeah, that
was
cool.
They did it during Insane in the Brain. And I can't wait to do it again so people can see these guys do that. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
If people want to check it out, Jimmy Kimmel has it on his website. So people can see that duel between Tom Morello and Julio G. The coolest thing for me was I lit up this big fat joint and I looked over at Jimmy Kimmel and he ran off the stage.
That's not the Jimmy Kimmel we know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, corporate sponsors.
We can't talk about the Jimmy Kimmel we know because he would have stayed.
I was gonna pass it to him. He's lucky he ran off.
Hey, that broke his heart to have to leave that. I'll tell you, man. I know. Let me ask you a couple more things about the new record. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. We're on stage right now with Cypress Hill at St. Rock in Hermosa Beach celebrating 420. Record is out today.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned Loving the Doors. You got a little bit of a tribute to the Doors in your song with Everlast on the new record.
Yes, my man Everlast blessed the chorus with that. And like I said, we all grew up listening to the Doors. We all have the similar music tastes and stuff like that. So when he heard the song, when I originally wrote it, I didn't have a chorus. And I asked him to come do something on that because I knew that would be his style of joint, that he could come on and be on a Cypress Hill record and it work. And he hit us with the Doors. And fortunately, we have a relationship with the Doors.
I was going to ask if you now have to pay them to take those two lines for your song.
Well, we had to give them a little something, but you know they went easy on us because we're friends with them. I actually played on something that our good friend Fred Reck produced for Snoop Dogg, called Riders of the Storm.
Now, when you say you had to give them a little something, you're not talking money.
A little something green.
A little something.
Let me talk to this guy because he jumped up to ask you a question during the break. What song were you talking about, sir?
Oh, their new song with Mark Anthony.
Yeah. Last song on the record is the strangest song Cypress Hill has ever done.
Yeah.
I mean, right? It's the strangest song. It comes on and you go, who took my Cypress Hill CD out and put it in Crosby, Stills, and Nash? What the hell is going on here?
And I heard that. I was like, I don't really like Mark Anthony that much. And it's a great track.
That came about by working with a cat named Jim Johnson. And he's a super, super cool producer from the Miami area. And we had done a song with him, but then he had a vision for another song. And he started working on that sample. And I'm like, I was wondering, is he going to want us to rap on that?
Right. Yeah, we were both like, what is that for?
Yeah.
So you brought in Pitbull as well.
But we're the type of cast that even though we think it's weird, we'll still try it anyways. And once we laid our verses on it, I was like, oh, this is kind of tight. So then he started saying, Jim did, I'm going to call Pitbull, who we've been talking about doing a song with for like 5 years. He happened to be in L.A. He came down, got on there. And then a couple days later, he said Mark Anthony was coming. And we're like, yeah, all right. Sure.
Yeah, we're like, get out of here.
Yeah, he ain't going to come over here.
He's going to come do the song with the weed guys, right?
So when they told me that he was coming into the studio, I was like, I went over there just because I didn't believe him.
Right.
And so sure enough, he was there, and he was all excited to be on a Cypress record. He was, you know, singing songs to us and quoting lyrics. And I mean, the guy knows his Cypress Hill all the way back to the first record.
But what about, you know, I mean, Steven? He's a B-boy, what about, you know, Steven Stills, though? I mean, he's in the video, right?
Oh, yeah. He came down to the video, and you know, the way he explained the song, it's actually him singing on the original verse. He's singing in Spanish, and he actually did a lot of time growing up in Cuba and Costa Rica, so he knows Spanish, the slang, and everything. So it made even more sense after I met him. Wow. That you know, that we did that song using his music.
You guys got to hear that song. You won't believe it's Cypress Hill. I mean, it's crazy.
My name is Vanessa McDerris from Redondo Beach. My question is, what made you decide to start making music together, and what is the most important message you hope to pass along with your music?
Weed. I'll answer the second part, weed.
That's a two-parter. You answer the second, answer the first.
All right, you go ahead.
We started making music together because on our block, we were always into something. You know, if it wasn't like, you know, playing football, it was always about hip-hop and b-boying and breakdancing, pop-locking and all that. And rapping just came naturally after, you know. So at one point, we were all just solo rappers. And then one day we looked up and we're like, let's make a group out of this. And that's how that started.
And what's the message with part number two?
Well, one is we're telling people about life in the streets and where we come from. And the other is legalize.
Legalize.
Ooh.
Hey, what's up, man? My name is Jorge Morales from Southgate. I wanted to ask, how did the song Rise Up come up? And will you guys play with Rage Against the Machine in the future?
Yeah, we are going to play with Rage, but that's in Europe over some festival dates in a couple months.
When?
You never know, but I was on tour with Tom in 2008 doing his Night Watchman gig, and he asked me what Cypress Hill was up to, and I said, we're making an album right now. And he said, I think I got something for you. So I tried to remain as calm as I could. When I got a chance, I called B-Real. I told him we got something from Tom coming. Well, we got the song in the studio. We just came together real quick and, you know, real natural-like. And that's one of those songs that, like, you know, when everything just falls together real quickly because, you know, everything's just in place and bam, you know right away the strength of it, you know?
That's from yesterday's Wake and Bake, with Cypress Hill on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've been talking about Rise Up. We'll play it for you next, coming up right after this. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. Hey, stuff to give away on today's program includes a brand new TiVo Premiere box for you. How about that? So you can do amazing technical things and your wife will leave you. That's been my experience. In the meantime, City of Los Angeles is in the same boat that all cities across the country are and in the same boat that the entire country is in, which is we broke. Let's face it. But there's not enough money coming in and too much money going out.
Seems like we're worse, though. Seems like most states have things together and sort of under control, and you know what I mean? But California is just crazy bad.
Yeah, California's got trouble. In Los Angeles, you know, that's the mayor. It falls squarely on the shoulders of the mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa, who pretty much has to figure out a way to get a budget going that will work. So, I mean, all you can look, politicians never seem to want to cut spending. They'd rather, you know, they'd rather fire people. They'd rather just lay people off. And there's a lot of that going on. So many people are losing their jobs, which this maybe isn't the best time in the whole world to put a bunch more people out of work.
Dude, I know. Especially, yeah, with the economy. But what are you going to do? I mean, you know, the state is like $700 trillion in debt. They got to do something.
Well, yesterday he gave his State of the State address with some suggestions and some ideas on how he is going to save the city of Los Angeles money. As he puts it, by the way, he takes some of the blame for the, you know, some of the responsibility for where we are.
Some.
He says he's stepped on a few rakes is how he put it in terms of some of the mistakes that have been made with managing money in the city of Los Angeles. The mayor joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Villaraigosa.
Okay. Good.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing good. I've been better, but
right.
I'm ready to take the power back. This city, we're going to save it. Okay. Sure.
Now, okay. Who are you shooting at, and couldn't we save a lot of money just on ammunition?
No, because I'm outside on my balcony, and there's them pigeons.
I see.
And okay. They crap all over my balcony. I don't like that. You like that?
No.
Kills your grass. Yeah, I hate those things, man. They're like rats with wings.
Not good. So,
yeah, go get some pigeon.
So you mentioned last night you were going to close some branch libraries. Maybe you're going to phase out some licensed child care. What are some of your other ideas?
I got an intricate system of taxation.
Okay.
That I'm going to implement.
More taxes?
Yeah, unfortunately. Look, I love to sit here and say that I'm not going to charge you more money for living in the city, but that's not realistic. We said tough times.
How's that going to work then?
I'm also going to have to cut some jobs.
Cut some jobs.
You know, I apologize. But look, I'm doing this in an honest way, on the up and up, and we're going to take the power back, and everybody in the city is going to have to work together, okay? It's going to be some sacrifices, but I'm doing my part. That's all I got to say.
All right. That's
can you guys hold on one second?
Yeah.
I'm taking a phone call.
Well, can you
just
ignore
business.
It.
This is business. I'm the mayor, okay?
Just push silent.
Yeah. No. Miklo, I said 20 a kilo.
What?
20 a kilo. Okay. But that was the deal we made. All right. I want it done by sundown, okay? Or I'm chopping someone's head off. Goodbye.
Hey,
all right, what was I saying?
Mr. Mayor, that was, you know, we're on the air, and
it's not like a drug deal was going down live on the show here.
No, I'm stepping on rakes.
You said the word kilo, though, and that pretty much means one thing.
No, I lost my keys yesterday really low under a car.
That's what happened, huh? So Saturday at Coachella, I'm working out. I'm at Coachella, and then I step away, you know, just to get buff like I do. And the lead singer of the Temper Trap is right there on the machines next to me, lifted weights. I couldn't even believe it.
What were you doing? What kind of reps? What kind of weight?
What kind of routine?
What kind of routine were you working on?
I was doing that one where you move your body in a certain direction to increase muscle tone.
Yeah, that wasn't you. That was Psycho Mike.
it was Psycho Mike out with the Temper Trap guy?
Working out with the dude from the Temper Trap.
Yeah, super nice guy, by the way.
Yeah.
He said he was under the weather during the
performance.
He was coughing.
Friday, he was barely able to sing.
Yeah, he looked like a glazed god when he walked into the gym.
All right.
Peeled the shirt off. I was like, you want a spot, brother?
That's Dougie, I think, is his name, right?
Very nice guy.
Sings real high like that, on that song.
Yes, he does. Yeah. On most of the songs, yeah. All right, time for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Based on time, you can pick one, or we'll see if they're short enough, maybe two. But here are the three stories. I'm going to give you the headlines. You get to pick.
Okay.
Dope smoker reports psychedelic hash to police.
All right.
New Jersey man attacks McDonald's workers to get his Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
Oh, I love that. I already love that, but let's see what number three is.
Man arrested for stealing scratch-off tickets.
Mm. Well, that doesn't... that sounds
It's a funnier
fairly
story
pedestrian.
Than it sounds.
Well, let me start with my Filet-O-Fish, all brother.
Right. In New Jersey, of course, cops said an irate man who was in the drive-thru and ordered a Filet-O-Fish sandwich put his car in park in the drive-thru, didn't pull out of the drive-thru and park, but left it sitting right there so nobody else could go through. And got out of the car and walked inside and said, "Where's my Filet-O-Fish?" It was 4:30 in the morning. Apparently, they were taking too long for him. So he got very upset about that. He ran inside, started yelling at the employee. He pushed him up against the counter and then started beating him up.
Dude loves his fish.
"I want my Filet-O-Fish." After he slapped the employee, he took the sandwich and left.
Look, I've been in the drive-thru where the guy goes away to make it and doesn't ever come back.
Right, of course.
I know where the guy was feeling. I think I stopped just short of going in and beating him to death, though.
I'm sorry. There's one other part. He said, "I'll be waiting for you when you get off work." That's a guy who really needs his fillet of fish.
No kidding. Wow. Don't make that guy wait.
Let's do Dope Smoker later because that's spectacular. But man arrested for stealing scratch-off tickets is the perfect kind of story for Citizen of the Day because really this guy may be the dumbest ever. A Winter Haven man was arrested after authorities say he took a winning scratch-off ticket back to the store that he had stolen it from a day earlier.
And by the way, Winter Haven, I believe, is in Florida, where most of the crazy stories like this come from, so I'm not surprised to hear that either.
22-year-old dude without a mask over his face or anything walked in and stole $70 worth of scratch-off lottery tickets from a Circle K.
Now, they knew that he had stolen them?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you could tell. Like, if I went into a convenience store and steal a bunch of tickets, how do they know which ones have been stolen versus which ones have been sold? I guess they have a way to keep track of those.
They had the security camera or whatever. But here's the funny part. One of the tickets... He bought $70 worth. One of the tickets was worth $50. So he went back to the same Circle K to cash it. He said, "I have this ticket. I would like my $50. The clerk was the guy who was robbed.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So the clerk knew him, asked for his driver's license information, and wrote it down. And then the police showed up and arrested him.
Fantastic. So did he get his fillet of fish?
That's a different story altogether. That's not the same.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, Citizen of the Day.
106.7 KKROQ. Congratulations to Lori Nuno. She is the latest to make her choice of either Muse September 23rd at the Honda Center or at Staples Center on September the 25th. So she's already going to see Muse. Now she's also on the standby boarding list to spend a week in Europe with the band. A continent that you can now actually fly to, thanks to the volcano. We have the grand prize winner for you on Friday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance to qualify to go see Muse coming up from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:50. Hey, Miss Cleo, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing
well. Fill in for Kevin Ryder?
I can try, granola. Ralph
Garman out for the showbiz today. He did send us an update. We've gotten a lot of people who have been calling and emailing going, "Hey, what's the deal? Ralph's been gone for a while." As you know, he's been having an extraordinarily difficult time. He and his wife and their young daughter, Olivia. There is an update at KevinBean.com that I posted late last night after we heard from Ralph. So if you want to know where he's at, and also if you have the time, drop him a note of support. I know it means the world to him right now going through this difficult time to hear from people, and he is certainly missed. So check that out at KevinBean.com. In for the showbiz beat this hour, though, it's our own Miss Cleo.
Good morning. I will try and do my best. So, Bean, you were just talking about the volcano that has been causing havoc over in Europe, and you said people are now able to fly, but it's too late for the Iron Man 2 premiere, which is coming to L.A. because they were having logistical issues.
Is that right?
So that's the one that we sent listeners to. No. Also, by the way, just robbed them of a trip to Britain.
Yeah, incorrect. That's what we tried to send them to.
It was set to be in London on April 26th, and it will now be in L.A.
All right. So even better.
Well, yeah, good for us in L.A. Sucks for
By the way, I was thinking about this yesterday. Imagine you're one of these people, and there are thousands of them who are stranded at airports. In many cases with no money, by the way, because they were someplace on vacation and they're just out. They don't have any more money to do anything with. They're sleeping at the airport just waiting to go home, okay? So airspace opens up yesterday. Some planes start moving from some countries, still not all. You're not first in line at this point to get on the next plane out. You're last in line. The people who had reservations that leave today, they show up, they get on their plane. You're still sleeping in the airport waiting for another plane. Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be fair to bump you, Kevin, if you had travel plans to Europe today. You didn't have anything to do. Not your fault.
So I book a flight today. I go ahead of everybody that's been sleeping.
You go ahead of all the people that's been sleeping there for a week. Yeah.
They're going to hate those people so much.
So I think they're scrambling right now, obviously, to get more planes up in the air just to try to this backlog. I mean, it's going to take several days at least for people to finally get on a plane. But what a nightmare.
That would suck. No, thank you. Anyways, Ben and Jerry is releasing a new flavor in celebration for Bonnaroo.
Really?
Not even joking.
So what's the flavor? Bonnaroo flavor?
Bonnaroo Buzz. Thank you very much, Kevin. Mm. It's a light coffee and malt ice cream with whiskey caramel swirls and English toffee pieces. I want my own flavor.
All right.
Sounds pretty good.
How cool is
that?
What
would we call your flavor?
What would Miss Cleo's flavor be?
We're not going to go there. Because right. You know what Kevin will say. And
yes, we do. We know what Kevin will say. The listeners are not allowed to hear that by FCC regulations.
You. I'm thinking boobberry.
Oh, come on. Da-da, because I have.
Not bad.
Woo! Yeah.
Not bad, but I don't know. I'm not sure you can celebrate that yourself that much.
All right, sorry.
Yeah. Anyways, Bonnaroo is a huge festival out in Tennessee, June 10th through the 13th. The lineup this year is insane. Kings of Leon, Dave Matthews Band, Jay-Z, Weezer, Conan O'Brien.
Conan
insane.
O'Brien, really?
Yeah,
awesome.
Conan. Let's see who else. Steve Martin and the Steve Canyon. Steve.
Wait.
What? Did I say it wrong?
Steve?
Steve Martin?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin? Yeah. Am I turning
She's
into
been hanging out with the King of Mexico too long.
Ladies, if you are excited for Sex and the City 2, which is set to release May 27th, which is in, 3 weeks, buy your tickets now, because apparently it's already selling out. I kid you not.
It's not a surprise.
I saw the trailer. I saw the trailer last night during Glee, okay?
Yes, I did too.
It looked like a joke movie. It didn't look like it was real. It looked so ridiculous and outlandish. And they're in your people's country
yes,
or something,
well, the
aren't
part
they?
That is taped, that's supposed to be taped in Abu Dhabi, looks like it's taped in a Sony sound studio.
Right.
Down
right. But they
the
have
street.
The girls from Sex and the City, and I've never seen the show. I don't know anything about it, but they've got to be, well, they're getting to be Golden Girls age, right? They're like 70, right?
They
these
are
girls
are pushing, I would say Kim Cattrall, who's the oldest, I think is pushing her 50s.
Okay. She's out there in an outfit, like riding a camel through the desert. I'm thinking, what the hell is this movie? It looks like a joke. What's next? Sex and the City in space?
Oh, you know, okay. I was not too crazy about the first movie coming out. And then I'm a huge Sex and the City fan.
Right.
And then I saw it and loved it. And then.
Okay. So you're
wasn't,
in.
Well, no. I was upset that they're making a second one. I just think the story's done. It needs to end. But I don't know. These tickets are selling, so.
Okay.
And I will
go
see it.
Shut up!
No, I'm going to go see Sex and the City 2. As we reported earlier, Cal Penn, a.k.a. Kumar of Harold and Kumar, was robbed at gunpoint early this morning in Washington, D.C.
That's not right.
Come on.
That's not right.
Look, even if you plan on mugging a dude, once you realize it's Kumar, don't you give him a pass?
Unless what you're looking for is weed.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. It just seems so bizarre to me, and it sucks because he left acting to go into the political realm, and he's trying to do good, and he gets robbed at gunpoint.
Right. But every guy you see, let's say you're a robber, okay? You're hanging out, you're staking out Capitol Hill for some dude to rob.
Right.
Every guy looks the same. He's a mid-60s white guy with a male pattern baldness and graying hair and a Brooks Brothers suit.
Right.
And then you're like, isn't that the guy from Harold and Kumar?
Right.
I gotta rob him.
Why?
No! You say, isn't that the guy from Harold and Kumar? He's badass. I'm gonna go say hi.
Old white guys with expensive suits would have more money.
Yeah.
If you're robbing.
No, you're missing my point, okay? Guys who are looking to make money off of robbing people don't really care that they think Harold and Kumar was a cool movie. They're thinking, who's got the most money in their pocket?
I think it would be him.
Look at Hollywood Boy.
Really?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I think that sucks.
You've done this before, haven't you?
No.
All right.
Yeah, Mike sounds like he's got experience with it.
A lot of info.
Celebrity birthdays for today. Actor Tony Danza turns 59. Robert Smith, who looks 87, is only turning 51. James McAvoy from The Last King of Scotland and The Chronicles of Narnia is 31. And Kevin... The Queen.
Oh,
can I hear a little Queen?
God, I hate her.
Come on.
Hello! I'm so much better than you because I have royal blood.
Queen turns 84. I'm Sarah, filling in for Ralph. That's your show.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7, KROQ, at 4 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hey, party people, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Psycho Mike, who's been working with us for a number of years on the program, recently got the full-time gig alongside our other friend, Dr. Drew, hosting Loveline, the nationally syndicated Loveline show. And I'm on the website, lovelineshow.com, this morning, Mike, and there's a picture of you picking up Courtney Love. You were holding her in the air like she's a pound of cheese.
Yeah. She
were you holding her in the air like you just didn't care?
I didn't care, Kevin. She jumped into my arms like a lap dog. It was a... It's crazy.
I love her.
Yeah.
I really do, just because there's no barrier between what she thinks and what she says. And most people have honed that throughout their entire life, so you don't know who they are. not her.
She's a loose cannon, and I'm very excited to know that we have tape of your interview with Courtney Love from Loveline last night. I'm dying to hear what she's got going on, because the beautiful thing about the wheel of Courtney Love is, depending on where you hit her in her medication cycle, you could get a completely different person. So I'm eager to see which Courtney showed up last night. So we'll have some highlights. Psycho Mike with Courtney Love coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, do I see our friend Mole is calling?
Yeah.
Mole on the phone?
Hey, Mole.
Hey, Kevin Bean. You know who it is?
Yeah, we said it's Mole. We're very excited to see your call.
Mole.
What's going on, dude?
Hey, Lisa May.
Actually, Lisa's on vacation. She's not here right now. She's in New York.
Yeah, right. You guys are letting Courtney Love give advice to people's relationships?
Well, that's a good question, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's
hey,
just
Hey, you guys something?
What? Sure.
Happy 420, Wake and Bake, dudes!
That was yesterday, Mole.
I don't think so.
Now, yesterday was 420 because we did a big celebration. We did a Wake and Bake with Cypress Hill. They played live.
I'm going by that Mayan calendar.
Okay.
That was the John Cusack movie.
Is every day 420 for you? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I try to make every day 420. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You missed the party. It was pretty well covered yesterday, though, and I'm sorry you couldn't make it.
Oh. Well, I couldn't smoke anyway. I was curing my stash.
You were curing your stash.
See. Oh, so it's not ready yet.
Soak it in aftershave and dry it out.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good.
I don't think I'm aware of that. Yeah. You're supposed to do that? That's good?
That's kind of gross you guys don't do that.
It's gross you do. By the way, there was enough there for everyone. You didn't need to bring your own.
Can I tell you what's great about super strong aftershave weed?
Yes.
It makes soda taste great and stuff people say sound really funny. Hey, you guys know where 420 comes from? You know the history of 420? Well,
we were asking that yesterday, and the guys from Cypress Hill said they thought it was the cop code, but I think the cops say that's not true, so
no,
I don't know.
It's not true.
Not true, okay.
I'm actually, you know what?
What
I'm
is
working
it?
On a documentary about the history of 420 for PBS. You want to hear some of it?
For PBS.
That sounds great. If you're behind it, I'm in.
I was doing it with Ken Burns. You want to hear some?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. Okay, here we go. April 20th, 1822. After burning a strange brushweed on his farm, Sir Walter Zigzag wrote a letter to his wife. My dearest Sarah, my head is light and my limbs do tingle. I have spent the last fortnight laughing and feasting on all our crops. My hunger is such it cannot be sated. I fear we will not survive the winter. Hey, Sarah. Look at this cool picture of a horse I drew. He's totally freaking me out. What's up with you? Did you see 24 this week? What do you think Jack's going to do with that helicopter? Okay, I got to go and stuff. And it trails off of me and stuff like that.
I am so in. That sounds awesome, Mole.
Really good.
Mole, I got to tell you, that would have been a lot better yesterday during our 420 show.
I'm pretty sure it's today. I got the calendar from some Mayans at a Mexican auto body shop.
Okay. All right.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
All right, real quick, yeah.
Coachella, we camping this year like you promised?
Coachella was this past weekend.
I made this Viking and s'mores.
Okay.
Wait, hold on, B. Yeah, then let's do that.
We're camping.
Yeah.
Guys, we're camping.
Hey, Mole, Coachella was this past Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was the ones... Not in the future.
You know what? You can't trust Mayans. That's what I've learned from it.
But the Mayans aren't saying that.
Trust Mayans.
We were there. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, you missed 420 and you missed Coachella, so you're just a little bit behind the curve. I'm sorry.
Why are you guys up so early? Are you doing the farm report?
Yes.
We're on this time every single day, Mole, and we have been for years.
So gross.
What?
Okay. All right, we got to go, Mole. I'm sorry that you missed Coachella and 420, but maybe next year, maybe we'll call you ahead of time and give you a heads up.
Okay, I'm going to cruise over some of those Cypress Hill roaches.
All right, good luck with that.
Adam's Song is what that one's called on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. My fear is I'll die before Blink-182 puts out a new song. They've been back together long enough now that it's about time. That's all I'm saying. It's 7:18. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. Last night, Courtney Love was the guest with Psycho Mike and our friend Dr. Drew on the Love Line program. You know, Mike, you didn't get a chance to talk about this with her, but Courtney is now saying that she wants to change her name. She doesn't want to be known as Courtney Love anymore, she told NME. Did you hear about that?
No, but she's throughout her life had a bunch of aliases. I mean, it's nothing new for her.
Well, now she says she wants to go back to her real name, Courtney Michelle Harrison. She says her stage name, Courtney Love, makes her feel oppressed. She says everyone's decided we don't like Courtney Love anymore, so she doesn't want to be Courtney Love anymore. So
wow.
That's one of the reasons I love her, because she's crazy.
Well, congratulations again to Psycho Mike for getting the job. Full-time host of Lowline.
Thank you, dude.
Awesome.
Very nice of you.
He did interview Courtney Love, and that is a that's challenging for anyone.
It is. Challenging. But I have to say, last night, she made it a lot easier than I expected, because I've been around you guys interviewing her at certain times, and we've talked about it earlier. If you get her in certain medication cycles or certain moods,
allegedly,
it could be a lot more difficult.
Right.
And she was pretty well-behaved last night.
It is. I mean, remember the last time we had her on our show, and she knows, by the way, she's been on radio for 20 years. She knows the things you can't see on radio. Yeah. And literally, we said, hey, Courtney, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. She said, hey, effers, except she didn't say F.
That's why I love her.
That's how we started with her. It's kind of like wrangling cats and putting them in a bag when you try to interview this broad. So you had her for the full 2 hours last night. We have some highlights?
We do. The first one, she's talking about how insecure she is.
Which I found shocking, because she's Courtney Love. We all know her as this big, powerful rock star that you see on stage, but
if anyone's secure, it would be her, you would think.
Well, behind closed doors, I think it's different.
I'm pretty vulnerable, and I think that's pretty transparent.
When you're not being, you know, the Courtney Love that we all see, you know, with the Rickenbacker
I don't know. I'm having a dark night of the soul right now anyway, so I have no idea. I want to have my job be dignified. I want my job to have honor. I don't want to have my job be, you know, I'm 45, so mm-hmm. I'm not interested in doing something that dishonors me or degrades me or in the past I've done that. Right. So it bores me.
Oh, don't do, no, what has she done with Courtney? That's the fun of her.
I agree.
You don't want her to grow up?
No. Are there two different Courtney Loves? Was one of the questions that came up. Like, is there the crazy one?
Right.
And then the normal one.
There is a schism now, because people always ask me, you know, is there a real Courtney Love and a fake talk about myself in the third person kind of thing?
Right.
And now I have that, where I'm sort of me, Courtney, Michelle, Harrison, Rodriguez, Manili, Love, Cobain, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's this Courtney Love monster, and I actually don't know what to do with her, because I'm 45.
I don't know what to do with her. She says about her, about herself.
You really got the sense, you know, and from just those two clips alone, but over the course of the show last night, you got the sense that she is realizing her age and maybe does want to grow up a little bit.
Oh,
and wants
see,
to be known. Wants to be known at the end of her life for something a little different than she's been known for in the beginning
but
of her
here,
life.
She's got a lot of making up to do then.
Here's what's interesting to me. It was, when was she nominated for that Golden Globe for The People vs. Larry Flint? That's what I thought. It was a long time ago, right? That's when it looked to me like she grew up. And really got normal again and had regular conversations with regular people and went out wearing regular clothes. And then it all seemed like it fell apart again after that. And then she had those missing years where we didn't know where she was or what she was doing. In fact, right now, coming out with this new album, as she is soon, it seems like she's been gone for a long, long time. It doesn't seem like it's been a particularly happy time for her.
Well, I talked to her about it off the air, about her time doing The People versus Larry Flint. And she said that it was easy to pretend like she was grown up and had changed her life because she was acting.
Right.
And she was acting on camera and she was acting off camera. And she just put on gowns and walked the red carpet and was pretending to be this Hollywood person. But after that ended, she just got back into her old lifestyle.
She's a cartoon.
Yeah.
And that's why I like her.
Yeah. And she also has had some experience with the ladies.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm guilty of it. And we just sort of put on a show. It's like a birthday or a Christmas thing. Put on a show for the dude. Like, it's like an event. And both of us are like, ugh. And this was a long time ago.
Right,
when
I was quite the
girl around town. But, you know.
But when you were involved in that, it was about
I can barely remember it,
Mike. It was about the exhibitionism, right?
It was about the dude wanting to see girl-on-girl action.
Right. That's what it's always about. Right? Who's with me? That's key.
I agree. I mean, when it comes to guys forcing chicks to do that.
We didn't force her. She was willing. But when she did that, was she talking about French kissing?
She was talking about certain types of kissing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. She was talking about French kissing, but not necessarily the lips that you're thinking of.
I got you. I understand.
She also is a hoarder.
A hoarder?
But in a very unique way.
Like, I do Edwardian Victorian clothing hoarding.
Me too.
Who doesn't, right?
Which is very common.
And there's this whole team of this crew of chicks that are into my stuff. Like, you have to understand, there's like maybe 2,000 of them in the world, but they're obsessed with what's called upcycling, which is where we take Victorian Edwardian 20s clothes and we remake them into something we can wear today, and I call it my kook.
That's her kook. She's got a lot of kooks, if you ask me.
The final question I think we have here, it came up. She was talking about how she's always struggled with her sobriety, and she's working the steps and whatnot.
You look at somebody and you go, somebody who's had a lot of trouble with drugs.
Right.
She's way up there.
And God bless her. She's been open about it. But I asked if she would ever do celebrity rehab.
Did I ever say I would do celebrity rehab? No, no. My rehab thing would be way too hardcore. No way.
How dare you?
Did I ever say I would do celebrity rehab? Okay. No.
Sorry,
no.
Should I keep going? Should I stop?
No,
going?
No.
I
think we've heard
it,
actually.
Good.
Sounds good.
It's way too hard.
Okay.
All right. That's fine. Thank you. It's funny that she talks about how difficult her rehab would be when you see the shape some of the people are in that get dropped off at Dr. Drew's doorstep. Well, look, he can handle Courtney.
I think that's why Dr. Drew would seem like he was, like, insulted.
Laughing about it.
Yeah. No, yeah, insulted. Exactly. Like, well, you think I couldn't do it? You're more than I can handle?
She also thinks she brings along a lot less medical need for rehab and a lot more emotional need.
Yeah,
right, that was what she was saying. So
I can see it. So overall, open
and
making sense,
and a super smart person.
Always,
you know what I'm
been.
Saying? Like that was
I
the
think
thing
she's smart,
that
yeah.
I came to really understand halfway through the show last night. A lot smarter than people give her credit for.
I agree, and she's very friendly and very nice and very enjoyable to be around. Just crazy, that's all.
Yeah, she's the only person I've ever seen take a $6,000 Fendi bag and dump it on the ground just to find her iPhone.
See,
that's you know what I'm saying? Her. Kicked off her shoes, which were probably, you know, more than I make in a year, and then jumped in my hands like a lap dog.
That's why I love her.
Yeah, very nice.
She's the best.
Yeah, mama, this must be my dream.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:35.
Yeah, the great Marcy Playground for you there on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new one from STP right before that. Hey, have you ever texted someone something private, confidential, or embarrassing? Turned out you weren't texting the person you thought you were. It happened to Kevin. It's happened to a lot of our listeners. We got some hilarious emails on this subject, and we're going to be looking for your calls, too, coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah, these are some of our favorites, and we've got some good ones today. Omar, as you know, is not a fan of Glee.
He hates. I thought about him last night while I was watching the Madonna episode. I was thinking all the ways that Omar would hate that episode last night.
Tell me how funny it was when Jane Lynch did the full Vogue video.
Oh, she's,
that was awesome.
She's brilliant. She's amazing.
So
yeah,
good.
The whole show was great.
So, of course, Omar finds this, and this is Glee in 60 Seconds. It pretty much tells not just an episode, but the entire series.
I know these storylines are ridiculous, but it's okay because we make fun of ourselves. Now sing this new song without any preparation.
Are you pregnant?
Yes.
Are you pregnant?
No.
Are you pregnant?
Yes.
There is no money for new music stands. We can only afford coordinating outfits, classroom stage lighting, and a backing band that appears out of nowhere.
All valid
so
points, but still like the show.
Yep.
I remember we were talking about South Park's 200th episode. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about all the celebrities that were going to sue, and then they decided to get the Prophet Muhammad there so they could take his power to not be made fun of. And it ended up that it was the gingers behind it the whole time. The gingers are the kids with red hair.
Sure.
That South Park says has no soul. And Ginger Kid, our favorite dude, back.
Yeah!
Responding to episode 200.
God! Seriously! You're going to stop this right now. Know that? Stop! Stop! I cannot believe this! Gah!
Listen, I love Crazy. I think that dude's faking.
I do too. I 100% think he's not mad at South Park. He just knows that his internet videos are popular and he likes it.
It's possible he's not. I mean, we don't know, but everybody just has to guess. But what happened with New York Yankees pitcher Chan Ho Park, Dean? What kind of a game did he throw? What happened?
Mike, help me out. I don't remember. He missed a start, didn't he? Didn't he miss a start because
no,
he was sick?
I believe he pitched poorly.
Right.
And
he pitched poorly.
Questioning
okay.
him as to why.
Why did you pitch so poorly today? And you do not hear this kind of honesty from athletes ever.
I had a lot of diarrhea. That's what you want to know?
Your manager said you were sick.
Yeah, I had a lot of diarrhea.
No.
I had a diarrhea and then... Why? Why is it funny?
Wait, that's funny. The guy, and the reporter goes, no.
It may be more information that is necessary. Just my stomach hurt is would be all you'd have to say, Chad Hobart, but thanks for the laugh.
But that makes me want to go back, and I'm not a baseball fan, but watch the video of that game and watch his movements. And, you know, you have to be careful when that's happening, right?
Yes, you do. And I'm sure there were times where he's thinking, all right, if I don't strike this guy out, there's going to be an accident. I need to get in the dugout.
I have to throw a strike right now or something's going to happen.
You're right. I mean, think about it. We've watched newscasters who have gotten the immediate fear and have to run off camera.
Right.
That
exactly.
has to happen when you're out on the mound.
It has to. Yeah. And there have to be times where you're out there, you know, and look, sometimes you go out there and you're on the field 3 minutes. Sometimes you're on the field 30 minutes. If you don't time your bathroom breaks, you're going to run into trouble during a game sometimes.
Yeah, that seems bad. That's a reason to pull a pitcher, isn't it? I mean, this early in the season, doesn't he just go, hey, I need somebody else to come in here? We also put up some videos that we don't have audio from because they're not the greatest audio. Some of them. Saturday Night Live skit they did, Larry King interviewing Bjork about the Icelandic volcano. Yeah. There's a dude at Coachella that you have to watch. He's
unbelievable.
He's completely wasted, and he's got one flip-flop on, and he's trying to get the other one on.
Now, he can't stand.
That's not a difficult thing to put on a flip-flop. This guy can't do it. And it's super funny, so you have to watch that. The Icelandic volcano is, here's how it's spelled. It's impossible to say F Iceland for this for their whole language. EYJAFJLLAJOKULL. That's the name of it. And here are newscasters trying desperately to say the name of it.
It's a name that doesn't easily roll off the tongue.
Eyjafjallajökull is the name of the volcano where it all started.
Eyjafjallajökull.
Eyjafjallajökull.
Eyjafjallajökull volcano. That's as close as we can come to pronouncing it.
Eyjafjallajökull.
Eyjafjallajökull.
The IFI player Kadul.
None of us have said the name of the volcano. That is because we can't.
Eyjafjallajökull.
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 So that's how that goes.
See, this is why in America we have Mount Shasta, Mount McKinley, Mount Rainier. Okay, we're not putting ourselves in a situation like they have there.
You guys know what the shake weight is?
Oh, yeah.
It's
I pay Miss Cleo just so I can watch her exercise.
It's a new workout thing, and you're supposed to shake it up and down with both hands. And if you're a girl, it really does look quite sexual.
Yeah, you're putting in work on your dude, and I'm telling you, the first time you see these commercials on TV, and they run them all the time as an infomercial, you think, how? I mean, the company that put out the Shake Week, they have to know what that looks like,
right? Of
course,
that's why they do it.
Okay.
Saturday Night Live did a skit on that.
Me, I like the slow-mo parts, because technically they slow it down for science, but really it just gives you more time to imagine stuff.
The Shake Weight DVD comes in a variety of fake covers to keep your wife away, like Saw 5, Three Stooges movie, and Sam Kennison live in Tempe.
This DVD is great for anyone who likes to watch women get all porno with a gym weight.
That's about right. That's very accurate.
Which, by the way, is all true.
Kevin and Bane, Lingernet, Randall.
30 Seconds to Mars, also Slightly Stupid, and Green Day. On the way on the Kevin and Bean Show, Green Day, who's American Idiot, by the way, has now opened on Broadway. And surprisingly, knowing the critics in New York City, they like it. How about that?
Wow.
I think it's going to be essential to get good critical reviews on a show like that, because most of the people who go to Broadway have never heard of Green Day.
Yeah,
so they need somebody to tell them who they are and what it's all about. So anyway, let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat. In for Ralph Garman, it's us, Kevin Bean. Kevin, I got some great news for you to get us started, and that is your dream girl is now available. She tweeted Monday that she is back on the market. I'm talking about Snooki from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, she's my dream girl.
She's yours if you want her, man. She has struck out. Apparently, she told New York Post's Page Six that she had to break up with her boyfriend because she found out that he was trying to land a role on The Real World behind her back. She felt that he was trying to use her to somehow get famous. And of all people, Snooki needs to hate those people who get famous for being on reality shows. That's gotta really burn her that somebody would try to do that.
You know the part of that story I don't believe? She had a boyfriend. That's the part. I'm out right after that. No possible way.
You know, there are guys, and there are lots of them, who like that type, who look at a girl like Snooki and say, that's a good time. I wouldn't marry her, but I'd sure like to date her for a while.
Yeah, I'd love to get in a fight every night. That'd be awesome. Nadia Suleiman. Recognize her name?
She's the Octomom.
Octomom. She has 14 kids.
Yeah, she sure
She went on Oprah, and she actually told Oprah that she was raised an only child. By the way, So
I didn't know that.
She had a lot of experience in... Oh, wait. No, she didn't. She gave birth to 14 children to, quote, overcompensate while trying to fill some of the missing pieces inside. And she actually said to Oprah, I may have too many kids. And then, of course, the follow-up question was, more? And her answer was, no.
Well, at least she's smart now to understand that she shouldn't have it. But obviously, I mean, 14's enough. Look, she didn't plan on having 14. That's what happens with the fertilization, when they try to do that, to have a lot of babies in vitro or whatever. I mean, she had 8. That wasn't her goal.
I hear 8 is enough.
No, but this is going to sound terrible. But when you have that and they put the eggs in, the doctors encourage you to cut down the number of babies because it puts all of them at risk.
Right. Exactly,
so that's the doctors will tell you that.
And having said that, she did already have 6 kids when she went in to get pregnant again, too. So maybe she should have cut it out before she even got to the 8.
Yeah, you think?
Our friend Mr. Movie Phone, Russ Leatherman, who we love, has a website, moviephone.com, and they have a list published today of the top, I believe they did top 25 movie remakes of all time, okay? You know, we look around Hollywood these days, and it seems like every week or every other week there's another remake coming out, like a Clash of the Titans or something like that, where you go, well, that was just done not that long ago. What's the one that, the Death at a Funeral, for instance, that's in theaters now? That's a remake of a movie from 3 years ago. So Hollywood does love the remakes.
Right.
And it turns out that they always have, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're even better than the original. For instance, Ocean's 11, the original, the Ocean's 11 from 2001, based on the Ocean's 11 film from 1960, the remake, a far superior movie to the original, for instance.
You know what's funny about that list, and this is probably why they put it out? I don't know most of these originals.
And that's another reason why Hollywood says, hey, there's a lot of money to be made in these. The people may have heard the name, but they haven't seen the movie. For instance, The Fly is on the list. The Departed is on the list. That was a remake of a Japanese movie, Internal Affairs, from 2002. The one that Scorsese made just in 2006. Here's your top five, though. Let's see if you think, see what you think about these. The Magnificent Seven, the famous Western from 1960, was a remake of The Seven Samurai from 1954, the Kurosawa film. Both great movies, by the way. They didn't do nothing bad about those. Cape Fear, Kevin, a movie I know you love from the early 90s. Yeah. That was a remake of the original from 1962.
Didn't know that.
Robert Mitchum was in both of them, too, by the way. The Man Who Knew Too Much was the third best movie remake of all time. That's the Alfred Hitchcock movie from the 50s. A remake of his own movie from the 1930s. He decided he could do better. He's the only director on the list who did both of the films. Number two, Psycho Mike, you'll love this. The number two best movie remake of all time, Scarface from 1983.
That was a remake?
Yeah. It was a remake of Scarface from 1932, yeah.
Wow.
It they barely... Hey, let's face it. He changed it a lot. That one changed a lot.
Just a bit, can I guess number one before you go?
A lot of people don't know real quick. Oliver Stone wrote Scarface, and the director, De Palma, they turned to him because Oliver Stone was amidst his own cocaine addiction, and he felt that he was the only guy who could capture that craziness in Florida, and that's how that movie came about.
And the original, the Howard Hawks movie from the 30s, was just one of those gangster movies that was just legendary and great, and is still a great movie today, but obviously very different from Scarface. All right, what do you think is the number one movie remake of all time, Kevin?
Kick-Ass from last weekend. They redid it this week.
No. The Thing. The horror movie The Thing. John Carpenter's movie from the 80s, which was a remake of the original Howard Hawks, again, movie from the 1950s, a science fiction movie that was made up. And just one of the great horror movies of all time. But it's an interesting list, and there's lots of other movies that you may, think movies you think of, like The Ring and The Italian Job and movies like that maybe you saw in the theaters in recent years, didn't even know that they were remakes. But check it out at moviephone.com.
All right, let's talk about Larry King. Stud Larry King?
Yeah.
The news came out that he was having sex with his wife's sister. Mm-hmm. His wife's sister?
That was alleged. I don't know that it's been confirmed, but there were people who were saying it, that's for sure.
Now there's a new dude named Hector Panate who was talking to Entertainment Tonight who said, funny she should complain about that, Larry's wife, because he had an affair with her.
Yeah!
Now, she's married to Larry King.
Right.
Any judge in the country should go, that's fine. I rule in your favor. Really? Because Larry King. Like, really? You can't cheat on him?
Well, I mean, I think the goal is if you're married to that person, they're your husband or wife, you don't cheat on them, even if they're not to everybody else's taste. That's the selection that you've made.
Right, but he's Larry King.
Well, no, I understand that.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
So this guy's claiming he was having an affair with Sean, huh?
Which is Larry's wife, yes. Not, yeah. So, yeah. We're going to have to do a call-in topic sometime of
wife's sister or girlfriend's sister. Because you know that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And you know it's always ugly.
Totally. And finally, bad news for our friends over at South Park. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, as you know, love to push people's buttons. But you push the wrong buttons. For instance, on their big 200th show the other night, when they did a storyline that involved the Muslim prophet Muhammad, well, then maybe death threats come your way, and that's exactly what's happened. They have been threatened with murder by Islamic extremist groups. And by the way, remember a couple of years ago when they were trying to murder all those the Danish cartoonists, for instance, who were drawing pictures of them? You're not allowed to show Muhammad. Basically, is what they're saying.
South Park did an episode then on the same thing, and now they've done this one, so they are on the hit list. Yeah, unfortunately,
the group is called Revelation Muslim. We have to warn Matt and Trey that what they are doing is stupid, and they will probably wind up like Theo van Gogh for airing this show. He was a Dutch filmmaker who was assassinated back in 2004 by an Islamic extremist because he had done movies and books that pictured Muhammad. It's just a big no-no. The website for Revelation Muslim went further than just a veiled threat and posted information on their site for the general population about where Matt and Trey work and live, and also accompanied that with a sermon from a cleric in Yemen outlining the punishments for blasphemy against the Muslim religion. So they're not saying we're threatening you. They're just saying here's where they live and here's what the Muslim faith says should be done to them. So go ahead and take it on your own.
Yeah, that's not a threat.
That's not a threat, by the way. So I don't know. How? What do you think? You think that is the type of thing that concerns Matt and Trey? You think they're kind of used to it by now?
I would guess they would have to weigh up their security, don't you think? I mean,
I would take it seriously.
I would too.
Yeah.
You know, the Muslim people aren't known to joke about Muhammad. You know what I mean? Like, in general, take it pretty seriously. So.
Exactly. Today's celebrity birthdays, how about the beautiful actress Andie MacDowell, who I think of probably most for Groundhog Day, the Bill Murray movie. She turns 52 today. Robert Smith from The Cure is 51. Psycho Mike, one of your heroes, the great Iggy Pop, who just recently, at 63 years old today, just recently within the last month, gave up stage diving. Had been stage diving right up until the last month. Now he says he's done. He's not going to do it anymore.
That's crazy.
Actor Charles Grodin is 75 today. Remember, he was a late-night talk show host for a while, too. Quarterback Tony Romo from the Dallas Cowgirls turns 30 today. And, Kevin, your favorite celebrity, Queen Elizabeth II of England, who has reigned now for almost 60 years, I want to say.
You know why? Because she has royal blood, Bean, and it's better than everyone else.
Because she's an awesome queen, and I love her. And she is 84 today, and that's the Ralph Showbiz.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest back to the show. He won an Emmy last year for Best Outstanding Actor in Lost for the show. Tycho Everson plays Benjamin Linus.
That was a moment with Bean.
Awesome.
That's maybe the best day I've ever done.
7 minutes after eight.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, you've been keeping track of Debbie? You've been talking to Debbie? You still texting Debbie? How are you and Debbie doing? You guys
something
friends
funny
now?
About that? Something funny about that is that this is a girl that I accidentally texted from Coachella, and I thought I was texting Omar. And we have jokes among us that is not appropriate for other people. So I said some things to her about, I don't know.
Pooping on her head.
Sure. Yeah, there was that. And then she finally said, "Do you have the wrong number?" I was like, "Oh, no, I can't believe it." And so we actually talked to her. And apologize. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I already said that.
I just want to make sure that she got that.
I would never say that to you.
So we're all square then. There won't be any lawsuit coming or anything like that.
Oh, heck no.
We're cool. All right.
So we cool.
We cool.
None of that's going to happen, I promise.
All right. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about Kevin coming to your house looking for your head, okay?
All right. You're the best.
All right, Debbie. Thanks so much for talking to us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to take your calls in a second about you texted the wrong person because it really is so much worse than calling the wrong person, because at least when you call the wrong person and they answer, you have an audio clue that that's the wrong person.
Right.
When you're texting, there's no audio clue. You just text and maybe they don't respond. You text again. Like I did. I texted like six times. I got one response back that I thought was a joke when she said it was the wrong number. So being the funny part was, then I went into somebody else's office who wanted to see the text on my phone. So I tried to show him and dialed her number again.
Oh, no.
After the show yesterday.
So now you're harassing her at this point.
Right. And now
she can't get rid of you.
And I don't know how to turn off my phone. It's new and I haven't figured it out yet. So I heard the beep. So then I left a message. I was like, I just wanted to say I'm sorry again. And
nice cover.
Really, it was just ridiculous.
Poor Debbie's being stalked by Kevin.
I might as well just start going out with her. I mean, really.
We're gonna, We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. But you really, I mean, a lot of people identify with your story. We got so many emails after you told that story, like this one from Hector. Hey, I just heard Kevin talking about texting the wrong number. I had a similar experience, but it turned out a little worse for me. I texted a number that used to be my friend's number, thinking it was still his, but it had been transferred to a 13-year-old kid that thought I was stalking him and told his parents. Well, his parents called me. They were none too happy that I'd contacted their son. It took me a while to explain what was happening. Once they went through the text and saw the conversation, I convinced her that it was just a mistake. All's well that ends well, but I was almost sad to be registered as a sex offender for stalking a 13-year-old boy. So it didn't work out very well. Here's another story. How about Diana? Listening to you talk about Kevin's accidental text messages during Coachella weekend, one of my girlfriends texted me one time with the words, crotchless panties.
All right.
I replied back with, I'm there. To my disappointment, however, her message was intended for her boyfriend. B, if you're listening, however, I'm still down. That says Diana. I want you to know that. How funny is that, though? She thought this was her big opportunity with her girlfriend with a crotchless panties text.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right, 1-800. Super disappointed.
1-800-520-1067. We have Isaac to begin with. Isaac made maybe one of the biggest mistakes I've ever heard. Hey, Isaac.
Hey, how you doing?
Who were you intending to text?
My wife.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Who did you end up texting?
I ended up texting. I was getting off of work, and I would text her, so what's the sexual forecast for tonight? And I... So basically,
you were saying...
Are we going to bone?
Yeah, basically.
Uh-huh.
And, I sent it to my sister.
Oh!
You sent it back to your sister.
What was her response?
She didn't respond.
Absolutely. So 7 o'clock.
Yeah, she didn't respond, so I texted back. I'm like, well, so what are we going to do? And still no response. About a half hour later... I realized it wasn't my sister. She then told my other sister, who then told my mom, and it's all over the family.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
But at least you were talking, you were supposedly talking to your wife, which is an appropriate conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, still not one that you necessarily want your sister to be a part of, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty embarrassing. And then I had to see her over the weekend. So.
And your sister's name is Monique?
No.
All right.
Oh, Kevin.
What a bean. How dare you say that?
By the way, yesterday at the near the end of the Kevin Amede 420 broadcast with Cypress Hill, and thanks again to everybody who came out to support that, by the way, that was a lot of fun, and we have the audio of that up at kevinamede.com if you missed it. Alex got a text message from her mom, who had been watching the broadcast at kevinamede.com, talking about how awesome her boobs looked.
Yeah.
Alex, I was like, I hope that's a text intended for someone else and not your own daughter.
No, Alex's mom is cool. I love her.
Here's Nicole. I can one up Kevin on the accidental texting, and I wasn't drunk. I was driving through East LA one time playing with my iPhone when a wireless hotspot called F Jesus popped up on the screen.
Oh.
I thought it was so funny. I immediately wanted to text my husband about it and have a good laugh because we're both atheists. It was only after I hit the send button that I saw that I had sent it instead to my born again Christian mother-in-law.
Oh my God.
She hated me ever since. It still hangs over my head. Ugh. So be careful is what we're saying.
Well, that's the key, is that the person that you're sending it to might love it, but
right.
It's only that person. So then when you send out a text like that, you know, then you send it to somebody else who's religious, all of a sudden it's not nearly as funny.
Let's try George. He's on line six. He went beyond the text. I believe there's a photograph involved in George's mishap. Hey, George, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Who were you trying to text first?
I was sending a picture to, I thought it was my girlfriend.
Okay, a picture to your girlfriend, and the picture was what?
A picture of my yeehaw.
All right, so you sent a picture of your yeehaw to your girlfriend.
Yes, sir, and since my girlfriend and her sister's both names start with V-I, I'm not going to say both of their names, but it went to the sister.
You sent a picture of your unit to your girlfriend's sister.
Yes, sir.
Nicely done.
By saying, hey, now I know why my sister likes you so much.
Nice!
Wow, she sounds cool.
That's an awesome way to end it.
Yeah, but the thing is, she never told her sister. And every day, every time I see both of them together, she's always making little comments.
Sure, she's holding over your head. I'd do the same thing.
That's hilarious.
That's the best.
All right, George. Thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. You texted the wrong person. We want to hear from you. We'll take your calls next, coming up on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. We're taking your phone calls about text that ended up on the wrong phone. You were trying to text, maybe your girlfriend, and you instead texted her mom. That's the calls we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Our frequent emailer, Brad, who listens to the show live on the internet every day through kevinandbean.com in Minnesota, He's your man, Kevin. Listen to this. Right. A truck driver called me on my cell phone asking if I was ready for a lumber delivery. No, I don't know if that was a euphemism or not.
Is that code?
And when it should show up. I told him he had the wrong number and he shouldn't call me at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, a minute later, he calls again. This time I answered and said, yeah, we're going to need twice as much plywood as before and we need it as soon as possible.
That's what I would have done.
He said we would call the shop and get it going. I don't know what happened after that. That's Brad. He's talking about a phone call. But if you've got a text... a disaster. We want to hear about it at 1-800-520-1067.
That's great because if they have the wrong number, they don't have your address, so they're going to deliver that wood somewhere.
Yep. Whoa. And that's not a euphemism. Let's try Missy. Missy is on line 8. This sounds like an awesome story. Hi, Missy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Oh, yes. What happened to me was I was at my local bar. My bartender gave me her number in order to text her so I could reserve a birthday party table. I texted, hi, it's Missy, XOXO. No
right.
response. I figured she was right across from me. She didn't have to respond. The next day, I get a text saying, you texted the wrong number. Who is this? I ignored it, figured they'd ignore it, we'd ignore it, we'd move on. Next day was work. I get a call at work from a very hysterical woman saying, listen, honey. She didn't say honey.
No, I'm sure.
You texted my husband last night with XOXO. I just want to know what is going on. I ignored it. She called me again. Very hysterical. So I'm like, look, okay, as a woman, I'm giving her a call. Gave her a call. She starts yelling at me saying, I'm pregnant. I'm hormonal. What's going on? Why are you texting my husband?
You should have said right back, are you taking care of him? Because if not, that's why I am.
Well, I can't tell you how many times that has happened to me in the last year. So I expected it. And it turns out we made up and she didn't have to kill him, which is actually what she said. Good, I don't have to kill him tonight.
Well, that is good news.
How about that?
Saved a life. That's good news.
Yay.
Thank you for the call. Kevin, you want to get in more of these text missends, right? Because you want to start screwing with people.
Well, I want to receive them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the joke between Omar and I is that I would, poop on the woman's head. That's not something you ever want to text anyone that doesn't think it's funny, which is everyone except for Omar.
Let's try Sarah on line 2 calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling in. What happened?
Hi, guys. Okay, so I accidentally texted...
Wait, don't tell us who you accidentally texted. Tell us who you were intended it for.
I was going to text something to my boyfriend.
And what was the text going to say?
It says, thank you so much. You're going to get it real good.
All right.
And I ended up texting that to my mother.
Oh!
And she calls me up.
Did you give it to her real good?
Oh, Kevin. How do you explain that one to her?
Well, she knows that I usually send, you know, things like that. But she's like, she calls me up at work and she goes, oh, so, Sarah, I guess I'm going to get it real good. Huh? I'm like, what?
You have a mom with a great sense of humor.
And she's like, I must have done something really nice. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
Guys, you need to, thank you for the call. Everybody that has these, you still have them on your phone, probably. I know I do. So if you could send those to me, I'd like to put them up online at kevinandbean.com. All of these that went to the wrong people, because that really is just brutal.
Heather writes in, I had an ex-coworker who received a text message from his 17-year-old daughter who was on a class trip to Washington, D.C. The text said, I totally did it. I finally lost my virginity. She thought she was texting her best friend who was not able to go on the trip. He called her right back and said, when you return from your trip, we're going to have a long conversation, young lady. Love you guys. Big fan, long time Heather. Oh, you don't want to text the virginity update to your dad.
No, that's the worst person you can do it to.
Let's try Laura, line 5. By the way, a surprising number of these text mistakes are women. I don't know whether they're dyslexic or unlucky or what, but most of the calls that we have here are from the ladies. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. So,
All right, go ahead. Laura?
Yes, Laura, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was supposed to...
I'm not
to
feeling good about Laura's call.
My girlfriend who was out of town.
Get your right.
And I was supposed to text her, you know, a sexy picture out of the shower. So her name and my ex-father-in-law's name start with the same letter.
Oops.
And I accidentally sent it to him instead.
Your ex-father-in-law.
Oh. Yes.
At least he's not your current father-in-law, so you don't have to run into him.
No, but I do see him, and it was pretty embarrassing.
Oh. Did he write anything back?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, you've got the goods. Anything like that?
No, he had his son call me, and he wanted to see the picture, but I did not show him. It was so embarrassing.
Hey, did you leave the ex-father-in-law's son for a woman?
Not at the time, but now,
okay.
Pretty much.
That's awesome. This has awkwardness all over it. Very
yes,
good.
It does.
Thank you so much for the call, Laura. Speaking of sending booby photos, listen to this from Bob. A stranger sent me a picture of her breast. I was driving, so I had my girlfriend answer the text. Imagine her surprise. She was convinced I was cheating on her. Nice boobs, though.
Let's go to Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Texted the wrong person. Who did you intend to text?
My boyfriend, who at the time was away for 3 months doing his law enforcement training.
All right. And what did you text?
I decided to take a picture of my butt.
Excellent.
Okay.
And who did
Good
the
choice.
Picture of your butt go to?
My cousin.
Guy or girl?
A girl. Her name ended up being right underneath his in my phone book. And sure. At the time, I realized it, and I hit back. And then I went forward again and checked his name, not realizing I had to uncheck her name, and it went out to the both of them.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I got a text back from her saying, was that intended for me? And it was great.
By the way, those of you that texted pictures, go ahead and send those in as well. Okay. Thank you, Anna, for the call. We appreciate it. Bye now.
Minutes away from another look at the Showbiz Beat Cycle. Mike is going to be doing it for us this hour. And at that time, we'll also give you a chance to win a brand new TiVo, which, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest inventions of the 20th century and well into the 21st century.
Yeah,
love
really,
the TiVo so much.
It really is a life changer.
Your chance to win that coming up in a minute. I know we're done with the topic of texting, but I have to read this one because this comes from a police officer who wishes to remain anonymous. He says, we get a lot of found property in our line of work, and when a person is booked into the jail, we always go through the pictures on their phone. The best part isn't seeing all the boobs and the wieners on the phone. It's what we do next, which is texting those pictures to the people in their phone book. I can't tell you how many wieners I've sent to somebody's mom. You guys rock. Please give Ralph our best wishes. That is from an anonymous police officer. Keep doing what you're doing, sir. Good
Kevin,
work.
Kevin, we so should have been cops.
Oh, if I was a cop, I would have so much fun.
I sense abuse of power every minute of every day that you're a police officer, Kevin.
How dare you. All right, time for the Afro, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can leave a message on any topic. We had Kevin Smith in.
Mm-hmm.
And Omar has an unnatural cartoon hate for the show Glee, which the rest of us all like.
Yeah.
So we had Kevin Smith in. He's the decider. He's the guy who breaks ties between us, and we have to abide by his decision. And that's what this first call is about.
I just saw Glee last night for the first time. I have to say, it sucked! Dude, it sucked! I vote to repeal the decider's decision.
Here's the thing about the decider. Supreme Court.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
Can't go higher.
Once you've lost at the Supreme Court, it's the law of the land. I'm sorry. And by the way, I can totally understand why somebody would hate Glee.
I can't. I love it, but I can also see why people wouldn't. Totally, yeah. I had a little texting problem from Coachella.
I'm going to shit on your head.
Oh, no.
Let's see here. This person is upset about something that I love so much I wish we did more of.
I swear to God, if you guys play that new song one more time, I'm going to drive with my windshield wipers off. I'll do it.
That's crazy.
That's quite a threat.
If we play Muse every song all day, I'd be thrilled. I love that band. This dude celebrating 420 in his own way.
Hey, guys. You know how no one should be out alone on Christmas? Well, no one should be without a bowl on 420. Yeah! Woo!
This next one is another Wake and Bake call.
Wake and Bake, man! Oh, yeah, there's something staring at me back in the mirror with the eyes, dude. And it has a phone on its face. And it's laughing like a dumbass.
Okay, there is such thing as two-stoned, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that guy's in that territory.
Right, and don't call anyone when you're two-stoned. Just enjoy it. Lay back and enjoy it. You don't need to call anybody. This dude brings his own music.
Everybody! Faded. Stand up. Eagle life.
Okay.
Your message might get lost with everyone singing behind you. I'm just saying.
Was Kevin drunk, out of his mind, or maybe stoned? Because listening to Kevin right now, oh my God, yeah, he was crazy. He's yelling. Why is he yelling? Kevin, lay off the sauce, man.
First of all, no. I won't lay off the sauce.
Second of all, am I yelling a lot today?
I haven't noticed it. I've pretty much given up on trying to guess why you sound the way you sound.
I'm losing my voice because...
For starters.
Yeah, but the Los Angeles Kings are in the playoffs. And Monday night I went to the game and yelled a lot. So I'm losing my voice.
And then yesterday we did a live show in front of 500 people. Right. That was also a very loud environment for 5 hours. So, I totally get that.
And then
that
tonight doesn't explain there's all another of the, home game. So
right,
tomorrow,
but this last few days doesn't explain the last few years, though. I think that's my point.
No, the last few years is correct. Drunk stoned. That's the answer.
How stoned is Kevin? Good. Kevin, hey! 420! 420, wake up, big up, 72! Yeah! 72! Woo! I mean, they're great and all, but dude, you are so faded.
Again, like Bean said, that was a super crowded room yesterday.
It was.
And we couldn't hear a word we were saying.
Now, a lot of hand signals yesterday to communicate with the various members.
If I yelled too much for that, I apologize.
Kevin, I love you, man. I love Cypress Hill. But why are you screaming?
Apparently, I was screaming more than I realized.
Apparently, we didn't even realize it. That's hilarious.
I accept your scorn.
I think I listened to Kevin and Bean too much. Let me explain. The other day I met a guy and he said his name was Eric. So I said, yeah, Eric. And then I said, what's your last name? And he said, Wong. And I said, hi. He told me he was having a problem with his wife. And I said, what happened? He said, she can't stop shopping. I said, what's her name? And he said, Lisa. And I said, does she go by Elika or Callie? And he was confused. I said, what do you do for work? And he said, I sell stuff on the internet and my website is. And I said, da-na.
That guy is awesome.
That guy's the best. Call anytime. 323-520-AFR. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 847.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, there's an update on our friend Ralph Garman at KevinandBean.com. Posted last night, we heard from Ralph about the continuing difficulties he's having with his little baby daughter, Olivia. So if you want to check out what's new with Ralph and maybe drop him a line of support, I know it means a lot to him and his wife, Carrie. In the meantime, we're filling in for Showbiz, and this hour it is our own friend Psycho Mike, host of Loveline, slumming it in the morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Mike?
New information on a story we talked about last week. I believe it was Friday that I reported that my boner believes Ariane Celeste, MMA ring girl, most known for her work in the UFC, is the best person on the planet.
Right.
She is also on the cover of Maxim this month with a full about a 4 or 5 page spread. New information is that I have the Maxim with me right here, Kevin.
Right.
Yes, you do.
That's the new info?
Yeah. And in the first picture, she's wearing a bikini, as you can see.
I like Mike's showbiz.
Second picture, she's taking that bikini off.
Well, it's too tight.
It's completely off. She's just using her arms to obstruct her view. This last one, I'm sorry, my view is obstructed by some type of viscous fluid.
Oh, come on, Mike. Stop it.
Joe Rogan tweeted about the Maxim cover the other day, and I texted him and said, you're not allowed on the Kevin and Bean Show anymore unless you bring her with you when you come in.
That's a good call.
That's the new rule. We love you, Joe. We always enjoy spending time with you, but from now on, you bring her with you.
Same with Dana White. Same with any MMA fighter.
Anybody tangentially involved with MMA, you're not allowed in the Kevin and Bean Studios without Ariane with you.
Anyone who's ever seen MMA or can spell MMA, I'm sorry, you have to bring Ariane with you.
Yeah. Speaking of the beautiful Ariane, go to kevinandbean.com, check out the internet roundup. There is video of this photo shoot right here from this Maxim.
Okay, if I have to.
That's a present for the listeners right there.
Speaking of beautiful women, we got into a little bit of a debate off air about Christina Hendricks, who is has been picked as this year's Esquire Woman We Love number one. She is on the cover, and there's also a spread along with 75 other women that Esquire has chosen that they love. And don't get me wrong. Beautiful, beautiful woman. Giant, monstrous, physics-defying cans.
Right.
But I'm saying, could stand to lose a couple.
Couple?
How many?
A couple.
Now you're saying she's too fat.
I'm not saying she's too fat. That's a little extreme.
I don't watch Mad Men. I've seen only photos of her, and she looks great to me.
Now, other people on the staff, not just women, really disagree with me.
I do.
But we have put up a post and a poll at kevinandbean.com. Go check out some pictures of Miss Hendricks, who, again, I repeat, is very beautiful. But do you think she needs to lose a couple pounds, or is she perfect just the way she is?
I think nice, beautiful curves have gone out of fashion.
Well, here's
a shame.
The thing. There's a big difference between curves, say, like a Beyonce or Kim Kardashian, and you need to lose a couple.
Okay.
And you're walking a fine line. You don't want to insult someone because she is a beautiful girl, but I'm saying a couple.
Right, but you say that to everyone.
Yeah, that's okay. True. Kevin,
she does look fantastic in this pictorial. I am looking at it right now on the website. She really does look great. And she would still be curvy even if she lost 15 pounds, though.
That's okay. All I'm saying. All right. That's
she's not going to lose her figure. She's not in danger of that. She's not like a Jennifer Aniston or somebody who gets too thin and all of a sudden doesn't have a figure anymore.
Kevin, you might be garnering some serious support for your theory that Kesha is the worst person ever.
Hey, I don't have to do anything for that. She's out there doing it herself.
E! Online has put up a poll as to whether or not Kesha's performance on the most recent Saturday Night Live was, in fact, the worst ever.
So she sang live? Because I thought she did a voice track, like she mouthed it.
I don't know. It's hard to tell because her music's so auto-tuned and everything anyway. It's hard to tell.
Well, it shouldn't be hard to tell then.
But she is getting a lot of votes for, yes, in fact, that is the worst performance on Saturday Night Live in the history of that show.
Of all time, and that's been on for 200 years.
There's been some disastrous performances, even just in recent history. Kanye, when his auto-tune failed.
Right.
Ashley Simpson.
That's got to be. At least Kesha was able to finish her song. I think she was better than Ashley Simpson.
But then you got that embarrassing moment where Ashley Simpson danced that weird jig.
Right.
So go to eonline.com. I encourage you to go there and vote and let us know how you feel. Very important news, guys. It's a little pretty serious story, so I'm sorry if I get choked up a little bit. Victoria's Secret model Jessica Hart was not only in a bikini on Australia's Bondi Beach yesterday, but
it's good news.
She went jogging in it.
Yeah. Why are you sad?
I'm not sad. I'm just
overwhelmed.
A little bit of tear right here. It's like it's like the first time you ride a bike or the first touchdown you scored in high school.
Right.
Every once in a while, it just touches a special place in the cockles of my heart. To our friend. Yes?
It's a rainbow. It's a puppy. It's a newborn baby. Exactly. It's all of those things rolled into one.
What's wrong with her jogging down the beach in a bikini? Go to our friend Tyler's website, whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com, to see a full pictorial of her jogging up and down the beach.
I can't remember because I have a bad memory. Was it you or I that was hanging out with Alessandro Ambrosio this weekend?
Well, now that I think about it, it was, in fact, you.
It was me. Okay, back to you.
But good thing I got the 14 voicemail play-by-play from you between the hours of 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. on Sunday morning.
That's a long drive back.
Celebrity birthdays today. One of my personal heroes, singer Iggy Pop, who not only invented stage diving, Kevin, at age 63 this year, just gave it up.
63? he's one of those guys that looks like he'll be ripped and in shape until he dies.
He is one of those guys that no matter how much you believe it, you don't like. You believe you could kick his ass because he's 63.
I don't.
But you don't want to fight him.
Right? No way.
You know, you're like, you know what? I'll turn this one down. I'm gonna go ahead and take the high road. Singer Robert Smith of The Cure, legendary artist here at this station. He is 51 years old today.
Can I tell you something about him that a lot of people may not know unless they're big fans? Okay. That guy has a great sense of humor.
And a party animal.
And you wouldn't expect, I don't think either of those out of the guy that sings for The Cure.
The Cure is so maudlin, and they sing mostly about depression and things like that. But I will never forget the day that Korn told us that they have a hard time keeping up with The Cure and partying with Robert Smith.
Yeah.
He is 51 today, and actor James McAvoy, most known from The Chronicles of Narnia and Last King of Scotland, he is 31. I'm Psycho Mike filling in for Ralph, and that is a Ralph Showbiz.
K Rock is KROQ, and it is 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. Sorry.
This is where you hit the button, like we discussed. There you go.
That button?
You are, that's the button, right. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. One of my very, very favorite shows, one of America's very, very favorite shows, is the new hit comedy on ABC called Modern Family. It airs Wednesday nights at 9, and one of the reasons I love the show so much is our next guest, Rico Rodriguez, who plays Manny on the show, ladies and gentlemen, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean program. Rico, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing awesome today. It's awesome being here. Being on the phone talking to you.
It's awesome for us as well. Kevin, I don't want to make you feel old or anything, but our guest on the phone, who's a big-time Hollywood star who could buy and sell you without thinking about it, was born in 1998.
All right. All right.
So, Rico, you got a lot of good years ahead of you. So how much fun is it to be on Modern Family playing Manny? It must be a dream come true for a young actor.
Well, I mean, it's like everyone says, it's every actor's dream to book a series regular. And for me to book it at such a young age, I'm 11, and it's just so amazing. Like, I started filming the pilot when I was 10. Then I went on with the series, and I'm 11. Now we're going into the second season. I'm almost going to be 12.
Now, do you have a tutor that comes with you, or do you still go to a school?
I'm actually homeschooled,
What a shame, because you could go to school and go, yeah, you know, Modern Family last night. Hey, sorry I didn't finish my homework.
No, the best part about it, about being homeschooled, and I'm not kidding, is being in your pajamas when you wake up and do school. You can't do that in public school.
That's true. But you get sent home.
And then, because me and my mom's the cook, the janitor, the vice president.
All right.
principal, vice, and then regular principal. Then she's everything. She's the limo driver. She's everything.
Rika, are you an only kid?
No, I actually have 3 older siblings.
Unbelievable. Wow. It sounds like we're talking to a 35-year-old. Your intelligence, your maturity is far beyond mine.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. They say, Rico, are you really 11 or are you like 35?
You're a midget.
Well, here's what's funny, Rico, and this is why I'm so glad that we get to talk to you, because we see your character, Manny, on the show, and that's kind of the joke that the writers have created for your character, is that he's 11, but he acts like a 45-year-old. And everybody goes, well, Rico's probably just a regular little kid. They give him those words to say. But every time I've seen you interviewed, and including on this phone call, you are so much like Manny in that you have that same sort of old soul to you.
Well, it's just that when... It's like I have Manny so much in me now. Like, I've been with him for a year already, so it's like he's in me now, so like I can't like push him out of me. Like, it just comes out unexpectedly.
Listen, if you're going to turn into a character, that's a good character to turn into. You know, there's a lot worse that it could happen. Now, let me ask you this question. You're 11?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you aware that your acting career is going to go nothing but downhill from here, only in that you're working with Sofia Vergara?
Well...
You're not going to be able to top that, dude.
No.
I mean, really.
Well, I mean, Sofia, she's a really nice lady.
Right?
And it's like, at first I was like, okay, well, Sofia's here. Like, I first saw her, and I didn't even know Ed, really.
Right.
I didn't know Ed at all. And my dad said he was so excited. He goes, okay, Rico, you never guess who's going to be playing your stepfather. I'm like, who? He's getting me out. He said, Ed O'Neill. Who's that?
Yeah, you don't really know Mary.
Because think about it. Yeah, Ed O'Neill. I mean, his show was off the air before you were born. So you wouldn't know who he was, right?
No, but the only reason why I knew Sophia was because, one, I saw Madea Goes to Jail.
Okay.
Before, it was like the day before I booked, they called me and I booked the pilot.
Right.
How about that? Do you think she's very, very pretty like we do, Rico?
Well, yeah, she is pretty. But you know what's another weird thing? Is that the men, when they come up to me, they don't ask me how's it working on set. They don't ask me, like, how's it working with everybody and Ed. The first thing they ask me is, okay, your mom. How is it working with your mom? She is smoking.
Thank God.
It's a price I have to pay.
We had a 5-minute conversation before talking to you because you're 11. How do we bring it up? I mean, we really did. We had that conversation because for the rest of us, she's smoking hot.
And by the way, Rico could totally hit that if he wanted to, Kevin. That's the difference. Another difference between him and you.
In 8 years or 7 years.
Well,
right?
Of course, obviously, when he's legal. Right. So, Rico, you talk about how you're being homeschooled, and I've seen your mom on the TV, and she seems like a super fun lady, and I'm sure you have a great time. But do you ever miss being in school with kids your own age to hang out with?
Well, I mean, when I was in elementary school, when I was like 5, I was in like, you know, I can went into kindergarten and pre-first, and then I didn't even get to make it to first grade when I was in public school. I went to California, so
where they don't require education.
Well, I kind of miss it because it's fun, like, to hang out and have nap time and, you know, go have recess.
Sure,
play with kids. You can have that here, but it's kind of like, it's kind of weird not being with your friends, you know?
I can see that.
But now it's pretty cool because, I mean, I get to stay in my pajamas, and instead of going recess playing on the monkey bars and the slides, I get to go swimming.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So. And of course, there are some other kids not too far from your age that also play on the Modern Family TV show, so I'm sure you're friends with them too, right?
Oh, yeah. Like me and Nolan, the one who plays Luke, we what we do is we make this, like, parkour.
you know?
Right.
Where we're like, we jump over stuff.
Which
like,
is awesome.
But we have to kind of like tone down because, I mean, we're kids and we can't do all the stuff that the adults do. So yeah. We just like jump through rails and we jump off, you know, edges. It's pretty cool.
That's going to be great when you go to Modern Family and go, yeah, I separated my shoulder. Sorry about that.
I was skateboarding. Sorry.
You have to write it in.
Rico, were you and the other cast members surprised at how fast Modern Family became such a big hit? Because a lot of shows take a long time to build up, but your show kind of came out of the gate as a hugely popular show after the first episode.
It was amazing. Like, when we first got, like, the ratings from the pilots and from the episodes that have been playing, I mean, they announced that, okay, we got the highest ratings, and all of us were like, holy smokes, like, I mean, like you said, it takes a long time for a show to be popular.
Always.
But, I mean, our show just came right in the door.
Right out of the gate, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. Like, I can't even, like, put words into it. It's so awesome.
In our remaining moments with our guest, Rico Rodriguez, who plays the great Manny on Modern Family, we want to give you a clip of the show. If you have not yet heard it, you'll get an idea of what we're talking about how awesome the character of Manny is. And here's a scene. I believe the one we've selected, Rico, is you talking to your TV mother, I should say, played by the great Sofia Vergara.
So proud of you.
We need to talk.
Okay. What happened?
Mom, I love you, but your words of encouragement encourage the other kids to make fun of me.
Okay. I won't say anything else on the next game, promise.
We both know that your Latin blood makes that impossible. I think it would be better if you didn't come to the next game.
Oh, you don't say that to Sofia Vergara, by the way. You'll see that later.
My favorite Manny line of all time was the episode where I think it was where there was something buried under the house and some people had to go in there and somebody was afraid of the dark and everybody on the show was going around talking what they were afraid of. And one guy was afraid of spiders. The other one was afraid of ghosts or something like that. And Manny is sitting there and he goes, I'm afraid of dying alone.
Yeah, see, a lot of people, yeah, like you said, they are scared of spiders, snakes,
sure.
Or clowns or, you know, like, even your own shadow sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm scared of dying alone, which everyone thinks it's, like, nuts thing, but to me it's like, oh, no, I hope I don't die alone.
No, but that's the beauty of your character, is that your fears are more mature than everyone else on the
on the
show.
Yeah, even
that's right.
Adult.
Yeah.
Well, it's a tremendous show, and we mentioned Ed O'Neill and Sophie, of course, but Julie Bowen is great on the show, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson. The whole cast is tremendous.
Amazing on it.
It's a tremendous ensemble.
Sophia Vergara.
I think
good.
We believe we mentioned her, yeah. Tonight is a repeat episode of ABC Modern Family. If you haven't seen it, though, it's the one where Minnie Driver is on it, and she's very funny in a competitive relationship with Julie Bowen. But it's a great show, Rico, and we've been wanting to have you on the program with us, buddy, since the first the show premiered. So thank you so much for talking to us on the Kevin and Bean program. We really enjoyed
it. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Rico. When you have time, come in and visit.
Okay,
All right. Thank you, man. Bye. All right. Showbiz beat. Let's talk about Larry King. 900-year-old Larry King. He's married to a woman named Shawn Southwick, and she has accused him of sleeping with her sister. So Larry was sleeping with wife's sister.
And by the way, that's a remarkable charge, not just because, you know, it's a little unseemly to have sex with a family member, but who knew 76-year-old Larry King was still getting it done? I remember how shocked I was that he fathered children 6 or 7 years ago, that
right.
He was still having sex then.
Now one woman, not enough.
Right. What's up with Larry?
He's got a voracious appetite for sex. Who knew? Well, the new story is a guy by the name of Hector Penate told Entertainment Tonight that he had an affair with Larry King's wife.
Oh, now it's getting ugly.
So it's getting much uglier as we go. But who could blame her for cheating on Larry? Let's be honest.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
All right, speaking of cheating, Tiger Woods back in the news. This was his first appearance since November. You know, he's had press conferences, and of course he played at the Masters, but you haven't seen Tiger exactly out anywhere, all right? He was Monday night, according to TMZ.com. Where do you suppose Tiger, who's the least black guy in the history of the world, went?
He is that white.
To a Nickelback concert.
What?
Tiger Woods showed up at a Nickelback concert and ended up at a party backstage. Is he the only black guy in the world who's ever been to a Nickelback concert?
What happened?
That's the whitest Canadian rock band ever.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's a shocker.
TMZ said that Woods was shrouded by security. Radar Online said that Tiger went to a restaurant with friends earlier in the evening, and it was his first social outing in Orlando since the sex scandal. By the way, if you're wondering where Elin is, apparently she is in Sweden with the kids. So they're not exactly spending a lot of time together. I don't know how that's going, patching that relationship up. But this is interesting. You know, you can bet on anything these days. Oddsmakers right now say that a divorce before the U.S. Open is more likely than not.
Oh, I would bet on that in a second.
Yeah.
She bought a one-way ticket. You know that. You know Nickelback. That's not a round trip. She's not coming
Tiger,
back.
Tiger, Nickelback, what really? Up?
Come on now.
Right.
That's when you're getting a little respect for, you know.
For coming in fourth at the Masters, right?
Yeah,
then you got to go throw it all out with the Nickelback
sure,
concert.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Of course, exactly. Amy Winehouse and Blake Fielder Civil are back together. This has been on again, off again for a long time. He was the dude that was in jail. They got married, then he was in jail. Then she went on her drug binges, and then he got out of jail, and he saw her, and he went, no, and they broke up. Now, according to AbsoluteNow.com, they are back. They headed out to a jazz club to celebrate his 28th birthday last week. And the owner of the joint said the reunited duo are completely in love.
That's terrifying. They cannot be good for each other.
She has been, because he if you believe the reports, he was her drug dealer. Or
right.
They got drugs together or whatever.
Yeah. Is Psycho Mike there? You got Mike
in there? Yeah, what's up?
Mike, you've been through rehab and recovery. You don't hang out with your old drug friends when you're trying to stay clean, right? Isn't that thing one?
If you're making a sincere effort to get clean, you know, the person, the people, places, and things, they have to change too.
Wait, who's trying to get clean?
I was hoping that Amy Winehouse was.
Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. Apparently, she also has now started requesting that people call her Mrs. Fielder Civil.
Oh, no.
And she revealed on Facebook that, and I quote, "The King and Queen of Camden are coming home."
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you, it's been years since her last album. She's not even going to continue to be famous anymore unless eventually she gets back to work. So,
King and Queen of Cocaine is coming home, is how she
maybe
read.
More like it, right? All right, this is strange, and it happens all the time. And as a voracious record consumer, it annoys me when somebody puts out an album and you buy it. And then a few months later, either online or in stores or both, they put it out again and they add like five more tracks.
Yeah, specialty
right?
stuff, so you have to buy it again.
You got to buy it again, right? Well, Mary J. Blige, who's an R&B singer that I'm a huge fan of, is getting ready to do that. She's re-releasing her latest record, which I think is called Stronger Than a Tear, and she's recording some bonus tracks for it. And people are talking about it because you wouldn't necessarily peg her as a Led Zeppelin fan, but she says that they are one of her favorite bands of all time, and she's always wanted to record Led Zeppelin songs, and she has.
Wait, I thought we were talking about Mary J. Blige.
Exactly. So, Kevin, I'm going to give you your choice. If you'd like to hear Mary J. Blige doing a little bit of Stairway to Heaven, I've got about 30 seconds of that, which, by the way, is a song that there has never been a good cover of.
True.
Many have tried. All have failed. Or would you like to hear her doing a little bit of Whole Lot of Love? I'll give you your choice. Both massive Led Zeppelin songs.
I'll take the first.
All right. Stairway to Heaven. Here's a little bit of that from Mary J. Blige. Tell me if this is what you'd expect to hear coming out of her.
If there's a bustle in your head, well, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still the time to change.
By the way, let me tell you a little something about who's playing with Mary J. Blige on this track, and I think this will also surprise you. Randy Jackson, the judge from American Idol, who, of course, is a professional musician also, is playing bass on the track. Guitarist Steve Vai, who's a legendary session guitarist, one of the fastest guitar players in the world. Kevin, the chick that you like that played with Michael Jackson, Orianthe, that young,
amazing.
Pretty blonde,
yeah.
She's playing guitar on the track. Travis Barker, drumming on Stairway to Heaven for Mary J. Blige.
Wow.
Because you can't make a record without Travis Barker. He has to be on all songs. And he's the right choice for whatever music you want to put out.
And before you told me all of that, I was going to say, that sounds like a pretty good cover.
Well, it's fine.
She's,
I mean, it's
got
certainly
the pipes.
Not, yeah, it's not embarrassing at all. It's just, it's a carbon copy of Led Zeppelin. She
right.
doesn't really do anything with it that's
any
different.
Oh, she will in the middle of it. Did you hear the whole thing?
Yeah, I've heard the whole thing.
Okay, because Mary J. Blige usually just goes off for like 15
minutes.
She goes minutes.
Off.
Oh.
Yeah. It's pretty straightforward, right, but I just thought, what an unusual choice. You just don't look at her and go Zeppelin, right?
No, not at all, really.
But anyway, there you go. And that's going to be available soon with the album of the with the re-release.
Harold and Kumar actor Cal Penn,
hi.
Who's now working as an associate director in the White House's Office of Public Engagement,
mm-hmm.
was Rob.
He, of course, from the TV show House. He was on House as a doctor for a couple seasons. He's best known as Kumar. And remember, we had him on, right, when he made that announcement that he was going to give up acting for a while and go live in D.C. and work for the president.
He is in he was in D.C. It was 1:30 a.m. The Washington Post says that a couple of thugs came up at gunpoint, took his wallet and other things. If he had money or whatever, they took all of that. Now, these guys don't understand what they're doing because if you're a member of the government, it turns out the U.S. Secret Service investigates. And those guys... they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they probably already killed that guy. Arrested that guy.
Yeah, arrested, right. I just wonder if it was random or if somebody said, dude, Kumar, we got to take him down. I'd love to know if they knew who it was they were robbing or if they just were looking for their next easy mark.
If I'm a robber and I see Kumar, I go, dude, good work. And I look for somebody else to rob.
Yeah, exactly. He gets a pass, right?
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Smith from The Cure turns 51. He's great. How about Iggy Pop, 63, Woo! Soon to be, he's already been voted in, has not officially yet been inducted into the 2010 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was one of the great punk bands of all time called The Stooges, if you're not familiar with Iggy. In fact, Psycho Mike, you would he's another guy you'd tattoo onto your chest next to Ozzy.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right?
He might be, and no offense to Ozzy and Lemmy, he might be at the top of the list.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
He's strong. Tony Romo, of course, if you're a sports fan, you know him as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Not a sports fan, you remember he's that guy Jessica Simpson used to bang. Actress Andie MacDowell turns 52 today. The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, is 84. Still hot, by the way, if you want my opinion.
Shut up.
And, of course, the reason we really celebrate today, guess who's 59? It's...
Tony.
Danza.
There you go. Tony Danza celebrating his birthday today. And that's the Ralph Garman Showbiz Beat.
All right. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We are going to try to catch up with the Armenian comedian.
Oh, my God.
All right. Now, that's fascinating. Because we have not, there's been an embargo, a law enforcement embargo for months on being able to talk to him until his trial. I guess he had a court date to answer charges that he tried to blow up the radio station.
There was rumors and he was threatening and they took him to jail. So we have not been able to speak to him in over a month and we're dying to find out exactly what happened. Also tomorrow, bisexual guys who want to play in a gay softball league. And the gay softball league is saying, wait a minute, you're bisexual? No. And the bisexual guys are getting upset. And are they suing, Bean?
Yes, I believe they are suing because they say they are being discriminated against because they are not gay enough. And this could be the first lawsuit of its type. I am fascinated with this story.
I'm with the gay softball league. If it's a gay softball league, you should be able to make rules where you have to be gay. Right?
Mike, I'll need the tape of Kevin saying, I'm with the gay softball league, please.
Come on, but seriously. Danny Way. An amazing skateboarder has a new video game out. We're going to have him in the studio tomorrow. Very excited about that. And one of the Los Angeles Kings. I don't know if I mentioned they're in the playoffs.
No, you haven't brought that up much.
And up 2-1. I went on Monday. I'm going tonight. Other than that, Matt Green is on the show tomorrow. He's a defenseman for the Kings, so we will talk to him. And more chances for you to qualify for that trip for two to spend a week in Europe with Muse tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
And, of course, our weekly visit with the great Dr. Drew Pinsky will be tomorrow, too. So come on back for that. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. How about some Danzig for you today?
Nice.
Also, Muse, Cypress Hill, our guests from yesterday doing Rise Up, Violent Femmes, Incubus, and more, all coming up next on K-Rock.